Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Me.
Okay.
Joe.
Come on.
You know he's here. Saw him moments ago.
He's got to say it.
Weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
All right.
Will you say Ardinger out?
Ardinger's out.
Okay. Bye, Ardinger.
Bye.
There he goes.
This is Ardinger.
My
favorite.
Here's
Dennis Murphy with a Dateline Court TV exclusive.
Let's get this party freaking started.
Love,
oh my God.
Love will keep us together.
Dennis Murphy.
Think of me, babe, whenever.
Today's events begun to turn around the public perception. Here's Dennis Murphy.
Dennis Murphy has some broad.
Yeah, sing it, Dennis.
How about a solo Dennis song?
Yeah.
Have today's events begun to turn around the public's perception? Here's Dennis Murphy.
Yeah, because that girl just dominated Dennis.
Give me another one to try.
Like she's auditioning for crime that she did that to him.
But she's auditioning for Annie.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
Dennis is going to be him?
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
Every song you play, every step you take, I'll be watching you.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
Every single day. And every word you say.
Happy weekend.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
Everything you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you.
Today's events begun to turn around the public's perception. Here's Dennis Murphy.
You belong to me.
Here's Dennis Murphy with a Dateline Court TV exclusive.
Welcome to the weekend, everybody.
Every step you take.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Every move you make.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
Every vow you break.
This is Knight's favorite. Knight's
every good. Smile you fake. Every claim you fake. I'll be watching you.
Once again, here's Dennis Murphy.
Since you've been gone, I've been lost without a trace. I can let my, I can only see your face.
Once again,
I look around, but it's you I can't replace. I feel so cold and I long for you in place. I keep crying, baby, baby, please.
I love this song. This should have been the single.
Now today's events begun to turn around the public's perception. Here's Dennis Murphy.
Fantastic.
We've had this on a solo album for over a year.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
We should play it more.
Now does he go do-do-do-do-do-do?
We'll have to wait and see. We're breaking.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
The instrumental break.
This is the part where
today's
he runs.
Events begun to turn around the public's
oh,
perception.
You
here's
see?
Dennis Murphy.
You belong to me. I'm a quiet.
Here's Dennis Murphy.
Look at this step you take.
I wonder if this is still for sale.
Every move you make.
Welcome to the weekend.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
And every vow you play.
He's surrounded
once
by
again,
candles.
Here's Dennis Murphy.
Every smile you
I remember that video, Buzz.
Every claim you escape, I'll be watching you.
Although I think of the song that was
every
for
move you make,
Notorious B.I.G.
You take, I'll be watching
right.
You.
Yeah.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
Every day I pray for you.
Today's events begun to turn around the public's perception.
I'll be watching you.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
There we go.
I'll be watching you.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
I'll be watching you.
Here's Dennis Murphy with a Dateline Court TV exclusive.
I'll be watching you.
A smash hit.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
I'm watching you.
Once again, here's Dennis Murphy.
A lot of people don't realize he did this in one take.
I'll be watching you.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
It was like a watch.
This is longer than the real song.
I'll be watching you.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
From one hand, one heart.
I'll be watching you.
Over again, Dennis Murphy.
17. One heart, one hand.
Gonna run out of one hand, one heart.
Now, over 17 copies
I'll
sold.
I'll be watching you.
They're gonna sell some more now.
Or not.
And there you
oh,
go.
Oh, man, I'll buy it.
Lots of stations like to start by playing, like, Working for the Weekend or something like that.
Not us. Ours.
Bang on the drum all day.
How you feel, everybody, huh?
Good.
Ready? Great. Hey, R&R.
Here we go. Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
I want to say, if I could, for just a moment, this is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
From Buddy Holly to the Beatles to the Beach Boys to the Bee Gees to Jay-Z. I've been there. I've heard it all. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a stone cold smash. My only question is, who is that talented youngster?
Well, I'll tell you who it is, Michael Scott Shannon. That's Dennis Murphy, good personal friend of Granny. Granny!
Granny. Okay, here we go with... We got three of them today, and they all suck. Good. Hello.
Hi.
And for some reason, the people who send us these jokes, the complete sheet...
For free.
They seem to think that Condoleezza Rice, the joke about her, is that she stares and glares at everyone.
Oh, all right. Okay.
I hate to set these up, otherwise it's really not funny either way. Hello. What's the ailment Condoleezza Rice gets that causes her to lose her voice?
What's that?
Glaryngitis.
Okay.
What new movie is about John Travolta constantly having to urinate?
What's it called?
Bladder 49.
Oh.
Hello. This website is popular among people who can't let go of their anger.
What is it?
The Grudge Report.
Hey, now.
Thanks, Mike. The Don and Mike Show.
Let's get retarded in here.
I think we did with Dennis's song already.
We did.
Everybody, everybody, get into it. Get stoked.
Come on.
Get retarded.
Come on.
Get retarded. Yeah.
Hello.
This is Sam Huff.
No, he's not retarded.
Hello!
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. With one true enemy, himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How's he been?
How have you been?
You know what about Dennis Murphy?
What about him?
He's passed the global test. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Fish, and all the ships at sea. It's the wrong radio show at the wrong time in the wrong place with the wrong host, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara.
Today when you got up first thing, if you didn't say rabbit, too late now, Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Got to be the first thing you say first thing in the morning or you're screwed all month.
Damn it.
Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Friday. Hotel 01 04.
Moore.
Hi, Donna. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
Hello.
All right, and there you go. Hi, here we are. We're on the air, and here's the phone number from anywhere in America, including Houston, Texas.
Houston.
Getting us 4 hours a day. From anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067. And here in D.C. on WJFK FM, we still have 202-432-1067. Before the debates... And I know we'll talk about
it. No, they had those last night, Don.
Yes, I know, but we're going to talk about them here.
Oh,
I see. Or the debate. It should be debate singular, not plural.
Yes.
What, Robbie?
Or you can see what Dan Rather says, the joint appearance.
Yeah, that's his thing, right? Yeah.
Right, very much so.
And Joe was watching thinking that they were going to get high last night. You know,
the band didn't light anything up.
I didn't see it.
You know, before the show, we were goofing on Joe, and... Yeah, of course, everything. And I mean this seriously. There's nothing that's said behind somebody's back that you wouldn't say right to their face.
So
having said that, I think it was me and Mike and Rob in the office, just something about Joe, something about, I know what it was, the seeing psychic lady. What started it was Joe's comment to us after she was on the air was, "That lady freaked me out."
Yeah, he didn't like the singing psychic, Jennifer Whisper.
And then we all start talking like Joe, right. and going through various Joeisms.
Right.
And then we hear through the paper-thin walls from the next room, hold on, we hear this. "You know what I'm in here? I can hear everything you're saying."
Joe's the only one that if we're doing a bit on Joe talking behind his back, Joe walks in, we don't stop.
Right.
We keep going. So it didn't matter that he was in the room.
Listen, before the debate, first, I want to say to a woman that works here at the station, Michelle, who's pregnant.
Yes.
I commented on her pregnancy the other day. And said that I believe, now she's gigantic, and I can say that because I found out her due date is, in fact, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Well, I thank God because she really did look like we were going to have to run, you know, jump for cover under the desk today.
I saw her before the show today, and she said, "I'm sure you didn't mean what you said when you said that I wasn't going to deliver my baby until next July." Uh-huh. She said, "Look at me. I'm due tomorrow." Yeah. I said, "Darling, that's the whole point of what I was saying."
Right.
You truly do look like you're about to give birth at any moment. I said, "What are you doing here? Yeah. Tomorrow's your due date. What are you doing here?" And it's that great slave mentality that Infinity Broadcasting has.
Nose to the grindstone.
Infinity's prenatal care program.
Right, yeah. No days off, no time for babies, no time for injury, no time for death in the family.
No time for sergeants.
Right. Come in and make your dough. So anyway, having said that, I want to say hi again on the radio to Michelle. And I still stand by what I said, and I said it to her face. I said, "You're not going to have that baby tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have that baby next week.
Your prediction is next summer."
Next July.
Oh, that poor
next
woman.
Next July.
She walked by the office today, and I had to just bring her back because I just wanted to take another look.
She is huge.
You don't get a chance to see pregnant women that far unless you work in a hospital or something. Yeah.
Understand, I can make these incredibly cruel comments because she's not fat. She, however, is gigantic with this monstrous baby that she's carrying.
It's not really fat. The baby, it's just...
That's what I mean.
It's that time, ball. Yeah. You know, it's just... I mean, you could land a copter on her.
I don't know how her OBGYN or her prenatal care... I got to guess that there's like 7 or 8 puppies in there. They're
right.
If there's just one baby, it's going to be like Bam Bam Flintstone.
It's going to be a baby that can probably kick any of our butts once it's born.
You know what I mean? The thing,
immediately.
The thing's going to come out and go, hey, you know, no, not like that. Prank him out and go, yeah. Hey, what's happening?
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, that's it.
Listen, I was just born, and let me shake your hand, and we'll go, ow! Yeah. Not so hard.
Starts here next week.
Hey, hi.
Hey, which one of you guys was effing with my mom last week?
Yeah, get beat up by a 1-year-old.
I'll kick your butt.
And also, I wanted to say hello to the carpet guys. You know, nothing in my house ever goes easy. And it's free. You know, here's the thing about the carpeting. I approved it. She ran it by me, and I gave my approval as if it really mattered, and she'd do it without me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The carpet that they're tearing up to put a new carpet, the new carpet, to my eyes, looks just like the old carpet.
So you don't think you needed it then, right?
Well, I thought the whole deal was we were getting new carpeting that was going to be of a darker shade.
Yeah, if you get something new, you want a new color.
New look. And also, the problem is the animals. And the animals, do, and specifically upstairs, the cat. You know, and when the cat gets mad, the cat goes to the bathroom all over the place. And besides that, cats have hairballs, and they leave those big oogie spots.
That's what cats do, though. Cats, you know, basically relieve themselves on carpet. At your house.
Not all cats.
And a lot of houses.
And my,
I've had cats for 20 years.
I love my cat. And I'll tell you.
I couldn't sell my house when I moved about 10 years ago. I almost couldn't sell my house because of those cats. And they said, this is major damage that's done in the corner. Got actually through the carpet into the wood.
Well, listen, I don't want to sound like faggot Dr. Doolittle with my love of animals. However, with my animals, with my dogs, and even with my cat now, it's not uncommon when a dog rolls over on his back and puts his paws up in the air, in essence, what the dog is saying to you is, you know, I trust you.
Yes.
You're the big dog. It's very rare my cat does the same thing. When my cat wants some attention, she'll come up, and at first she'll yell at me. You know, you get that, like, where have you been? Then she lays on the floor, presents herself to me,
right,
and I scratch her belly. Yep. And
it's very rare for a cat, too.
She's in her most vulnerable position, and what she does now is this thing with her little front arms, the cat's arms, going up as it, yeah, Buzz, right. You got it right. Yeah. Like, right. Almost like you're, you know, on a girl's chest.
Yeah, with its claws?
Needing its
toes. Yeah, now the cat is declawed.
But it moves its little thing. That's
and
good call on that one.
I read somewhere that is because the cat...
Did you pull its teeth out, too?
The cat... the cat...
Pull all the teeth.
The cat thinks of me as its mother. Because that's how the cat nursed.
That's right.
When the cat was a nurse. I mean, when the cat was a nurse.
So what?
When the cat was a nurse.
Well, what the cat presents to you? What do you give the cat? Your nipple?
No. What I mean is, normally a cat, when you approach a cat will make you run and catch it.
Yeah.
My cat.
Right.
No, they do. Yeah. My cat.
That's true.
Rolls down, yells at me, lays in front of me.
Easy.
And
you have rope.
And then turns over on her back, and just wants. And right away, I can hear from all the from, you know, 6 feet up. I can hear that, you know, that purr sound coming. Yeah.
Well, I've got a new game that I designed that you can play with your cats at home. It's called Fallujah. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You pretend that the cat is an insurgent.
I get you with that.
You're the big military force, and you try to go in and make a military.
That's
they
right.
don't like you.
Right.
Well, anyway.
They hide.
The carpet. So the carpet is, it's like everything else in our house, nothing's easy.
Right.
You got, you know, who knew you had to move every piece of furniture out of a room to put carpeting in? I guess you do.
Yeah.
So it's been more than a one-day job. The carpeting that's in there is the same shade to me, so we'll have the same problem.
Brown. But it'll be nice and fresh.
Yeah, here's my only complaint today about the carpeting, guys, that they're done with the carpet in our bedroom. And that adjoins the bathroom, which was the last great project, which incidentally is finished and looks great, and I like it in there. So, I shut the bathroom door. Then I go and I shut the bedroom door. I go back in the bathroom. I turn the shower on. I'm lucky enough to have TV on a stick. So I turn on ESPN because I like watching it when I'm in the shower. And now the bathroom door is open and that opens into my bedroom. And the bedroom door is shut. The carpeting process is done in the room that I am in. I sit down on my bed and start to disrobe. Here is the way I disrobe. I sit down. First it's the shirt, and the right shoe, then the left shoe. Then I peel off each sock, then the pair of whatever, you know, Green Bay Packers shorts it is I'm wearing.
Keep looking at him while you're telling this story.
And then the underpants. Well, Mike, it's good for all of us that I had only reached the point where I had taken off the second sock. And I was sitting on the edge of my bed wearing just my underpants, ready to stand up. I swear to God as my witness, I am standing up ready to take off my underpants.
With your heart shoes on.
No, I was, at this point, shoeless.
Yeah. Did you have your garter belts on?
I just picture the old 50s thing
with a little strap under the knee.
Now, keep in mind, the freaking bedroom door is shut. They're done in there. I am sitting there in my underpants. The door opens, and it's Pedro or whatever the, you know, whatever the guy's name is.
What was he coming into the bedroom for?
He had a lamp. He had a lamp, that he had moved. Now,
forgot or did he?
Now, here's the guy's screw-up. It's an awkward situation, because the door opens, and I go, hey, what are you doing here? Now, instead of saying, oh, hey, sorry, you know, come back, he said, I forgot lamp. And he walks right across the room, right in front of me. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, maybe in his country it's cool because men are men and really, you know.
Well, there's probably a little more togetherness.
What's the big deal? But I realize I am vulnerable, naked, in simply my underpants.
This is the worst thing that can happen to you with workmen in the house.
And the guy comes over and puts the lamp down on the table, and then...
You were just in your underwear, right? You
just in my underpants.
Enjoy a little quiet time, right?
Oh, no, listen, if that's what you're talking about... That happens, Mike, when the coast is totally clear. That never happened.
And you knew that they were still hanging around that.
Oh, yeah. Didn't I know with the pounding and everything else going on. So the guy,
he walks through your bedroom,
swear to Christ. I'm sitting there, I go, hey. And then as he's leaving, I said, I think it would probably be best if you stayed out until I got dressed for work. And I guess the guy understood me.
Right.
I guess he did. I'm pretty sure when I was in the shower, I heard him knocking on the door. And then when I got out of the shower, when I went back, I saw that the lampshade had been put back on the lamp.
Oh, so he came back to put a lampshade
up. So the guy came back, but, hey, come on, dude.
And, you know, to take another peek.
Come on. I know that I've lost some weight. I know that I'm a handsome man, but for goodness sakes.
Do you take his time plugging the lamp back in?
God damn. I mean, you can't imagine my my shock and surprise when he came walking in. And and when he first walked in, I would assume he was thinking I'm sitting there naked. Because he can only see, I'm sitting, he can only see me like from the waist up.
Was it a situation where your mouth says no, but your eyes say no?
Why don't you just stay? And so when he came, made his way back across, of course, you patted the mattress, right, and said, have a seat.
Yeah, have a seat.
You were so angry that he left that you started beating your palm against the
mattress. Watch some TV with me and cuddle.
Anyway, that's...
lamp has a colored bulb.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Right, and if I could tell you a secret, I've never been more aroused.
Throw that towel over the lamp.
I have never felt more randy in my life.
Wow.
Hold on. Aaron in Utah, Salt Lake. Aaron.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hey, hi, Aaron.
Hey, I'm a carpet installer here in Utah, and I used to work with a big group of guys, and we do that on purpose, but normally we try to do the women.
Yeah.
Well, what a fine ad for your company.
I'm pretty sure it was a mistake on his part.
Hence the expression, laying carpeting.
Yeah, really. And again, what's the name of the company you work for?
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. See you later. Goodbye.
All right.
Ma'am, I was... Oh, I didn't see ye there.
All right, that's all I had. The debate. We all watched it.
Yep.
I would give a slight advantage to Kerry. I'm on his side. And I promise everybody here will have equal time. Okay. I don't want to monopolize this.
What did you call me about at the beginning of the debate? I forgot completely last night.
The lights.
The lights in the front. Right.
The Who Wants to Be a Millionaire light.
Okay, I forgot. I was a little.
And to me, that was the best part. Yeah. That they had the green light, then the yellow light, the red light. Reminded me of when I worked at 13Q in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
Really, Bob.
You have that for commercials?
The program director. No, we had it on. I think I told you this on.
Oh, for breaks, like talk breaks.
Right. He had a real stoplight in the studio, and he had the carts, the tape cartridges with the music on them. He had it so that you could only talk when the green light in the studio was. He had everything fixed up with these tones, and it was very similar last night. So had to call Mike immediately. I mean, I had read about the lights, but
right.
didn't know that they were going to be like that. And when both Bush and Kerry were looking at the guy from PBS, mm-hmm. did you notice the light that they were looking at was like a big, tarred,
gigantic one,
like
big
the
one.
Biggest tarred light, almost like
you couldn't you see it like an almost in a reflection, right?
From it looked like from a projection TV,
right? absolutely.
Okay, Kerry. I was watching this last night with Frieda. She eventually had to leave the room because I was getting so mad at Kerry.
What were you getting mad at him about?
Here's what I was getting mad at him about. In my humble opinion, the number one thing in Iraq that he's got going for him is that we don't have an alliance with these other nations.
Mm-hmm.
We don't.
Right.
And Bush says, what about Britain? I'm waiting for him to jump back and go, hey, listen, dude, Tony Blair has already said it's a mistake. Don't say that we have the alliance of all of these other foreign nations. So as I'm watching and waiting for that, there was never the great
didn't Bush accuse him of skipping Poland?
Yeah, you keep forgetting Poland.
You forgot Poland. Kerry is still so Herman Munster-like
mm-hmm.
that he loses points with me because he just doesn't have a dynamic personality. Now, on the other hand,
he's a presidential Herman Munster.
I have to say this about Bush.
Uh-huh.
First off, he was very close to fulfilling my prophecy that he would get mad and wig out.
Uh-huh.
Because if you watched, and it was great that the networks had the reaction shots, Bush, for 90% of the time Kerry would talk, would sit there and would just frown and had...
The reaction shots, it's almost like somebody told Bush that that they weren't going to show reaction shots and, you know, look as angry and as schoolyard as you can.
And Bush's smirk,
uh-huh.
when he thinks he's right about something, this is what I was living for. And I love the fact that the guy that ran the debate let them actually go back and forth.
Oh, that was fantastic. And that was such a pleasant surprise
to
me.
Sure was.
Those extra 60 seconds were fantastic.
However, I think Kerry won, but here, my bottom line thing is, here's the thing about Bush. In a time like now in America, and mark my words on this, we're looking for leadership. And even though the guy, in my opinion, is a total moron and a buffoon, he has a sense of urgency about him. In my opinion, the only thing he's got going for him is he could be up there saying, I'm advocating that every American put a needle through their eye
right.
by midnight on Sunday. He says it like he really means it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the downside, it's obvious that Bush only had like three or maybe four
concepts,
go-tos,
right.
you know, and his one go-to for just about everything was his wrong war, wrong time, even if it had nothing to do with what Kerry was talking about.
Right.
I give a slight advantage to Kerry,
mm-hmm.
but I still think they're both goofballs. Mike?
I thought Bush won the debate handily last
really?
Night. I really did. I thought he was... No.
Come on! Get out of here!
Someone had to challenge that. The only... somebody mentioned... I thought it was a kind of a push at the very beginning, and
mm-hmm.
then as time went on, Kerry got more and more concise and actually more easier to understand. So I thought, you know, like all the polls, I'm like everybody else. I thought that... That Kerry won, and I thought Kerry won decisively because of the reactions from Bush. When Bush, somebody mentioned posture, and I realized that really posture was important. Not only is Kerry taller than Bush, but Bush was doing this little thing where every time he would talk, he was almost rolling himself into a ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing: if you notice the body language. And I wasn't crazy about Kerry swinging his arms around everywhere like Herman Munster, but he, because he's taller...
I think, you know, now that you mention that, I think he's got to be careful with that, where, you know, where the hands come up and it's just like, you know, like it's going off a jet going off a carrier.
Here's what I know. I thought Kerry looked presidential in that regard, that he was able to stand up and, you know, Bush has got that thing where he almost scrunches his shoulders
mm-hmm.
like he's going to look you right in the face and go, now listen here, boy. You know, this is the way it's... That's kind of the way he addressed the podium.
You know, I'm a Democrat. You know I'm a partisan, so
We're
sorry.
I thought Mike was a card-carrying GOP Republican.
It's refreshing to come out of the debate and feel the way I feel today. The way I feel today is not the way I felt when I was watching the Gore debate, the Gore-Bush debate. When I watched Al Gore, even though I thought, you know, on substance, as far as what he said, I thought he won the debates, but on style, I didn't think he won it. When I was looking at Kerry, I really came away. The only new thing that I felt that made me feel better about the guy that I'm backing is that I did feel that he looked like, and I know they overuse it. I know it's a cliche presidential, but he did look like the kind of guy I could see at a summit meeting and the kind of guy that I would be proud to have as my president. Whereas I've seen Bush look more statesmanlike before, and Bush looked like he was in a little bit of a street fight, and he looked completely overwhelmed.
However, I don't underestimate the dumb guy's charisma.
Oh, I don't underestimate that. No, I mean, this is going to be a close election. Yeah. I think it's going to, I don't think it's going to be a close election.
You know what about George Bush? He had a lot of close saves last night when he would start speaking with,
and the long pauses.
And then it was like,
There were a couple of pauses.
Didn't you think he wouldn't be able to save himself?
I really thought, there was one, like midway through the debate, where he said, I just want to, and I'm like, oh yeah. My God, he's going to
completely
he's locked up. But the last thing I wanted to say about the debate, everybody was saying that this, because the issue of Iraq is Bush's issue against Kerry, this is why leading with this is going to be an advantage, and everybody's saying that this is the one that he's going to, he can knock out Kerry. He didn't knock out Kerry in this debate,
no.
And now I think election night, even with the other two debates coming up, I think election night is going to be really something fascinating to watch.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Do you think, and Mike, for one sec, hold on, and Buzz, what do you think?
I was disappointed in Kerry's slow start. I would have liked to have seen him get off to a stronger start, but I thought he did well. I thought he had a slight edge, and, don't even get me started on the other guy.
And Rob?
I thought President Bush never looked more monkey-like. Simeon would be the more friendly word.
The shoulders, the hunched shoulders.
But whatever it is, that thing that connects your nose to your upper lip, it's getting longer.
Do you ever see him when he goes to the lip grab with his teeth?
Oh, yeah.
When he's talking about compassion. And the only time I think he did it in the entire debate was when, because Patton Oswalt did a bit on this, where Bush is great when he's talking about, we're going to go in with force, and he's perfectly lucid, but when he has to talk about loving things, like,
yes,
we just want to cradle them in our arms and stuff, that's when he grabs the lower lip, and he bites the lower lip.
If at one point, somehow, they could have been a reaction shot of him using his right arm to scratch his right armpit,
right,
then we would have really just had a monkey in a suit up there.
I just, the one thing that I think Bush was said by his handlers going into that debate that might have been a mistake, I just got the impression that somebody on his team might have said, just be yourself.
You know where else he lost?
Mike, I don't agree. I don't disagree, but I'll agree to an even more extent. Someone right before he got out there said, listen, all that stuff I told you about being yourself, don't do it.
Right.
Because he came so perilously close to looking like he just wanted to throw down the papers at some point and say, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he went back to the same stuff, like,
over,
repeat and repeat
over,
and repeat.
He had the same amplified, yeah. Just, yeah. I mean,
he had the same answers, but I'm telling you, do not be surprised. It's popular, and I'm for this. It's popular to say Kerry won.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he killed him. I think Bush did.
No, you're right. No, he didn't kill him.
Bush did a good job for Bush.
Yeah.
For Bush.
I don't buy that anymore. I think I held Bush to a higher standard. I think that Bush did so much better in the Gore debate than he did in the Kerry debate as far as his own presentation. He was much more controlled and much less, like, hunkered down and with his shoulders going, here's what I think. And I really think it's almost like he was prepared better for the Gore debates.
But here's the thing. It's a different time now.
Look what he has to defend.
Somebody went to him and said, listen, you got us into
you're right about that.
You got us into this freaking war.
Right.
You got to be the take charge guy. The buck stops here. Yes, I will be.
And you know what else worked against him? And they said this, I think, on Fox News is what I was watching going into the debate.
Mm-hmm.
They said that Jim Lehrer yelled at the audience, really gave them a dressing down. No laughter,
no applause, no hissing.
But I think it worked against Bush because there were a couple things that he had obviously rehearsed.
Uh-huh.
Pause for laughter.
Get an audience.
That didn't happen.
I won't hold it against him.
He looked
him.
Like a tart.
Well, there's only going to be one debate where there's a tally.
Because he went to Harvard.
I won't hold it against him.
Well, here's the reason. Didn't he say Yale? And they both went to Yale, and I didn't get that. And that was a joke that he made that I wasn't, that I didn't understand.
I thought one of them went to Harvard and the other went to Yale.
No, they both went to Yale.
Don't overthink it,
in fact, they're both skull and bones.
Oh, that's right, that dumb sorority.
Letterman used to have a bit called the George W. Bush joke that isn't really a joke.
Right,
and I think
right.
that might qualify.
Don't overthink it, son. It's not really a joke, or is it?
But, if for people that were kind of getting worn out, myself included, with this whole thing, they talked about, that his...
his base being re-energized, and that's the truest thing in the world. I feel great about it.
Yeah, me too.
Now it's like, willing to, now it's a reason to kind of stick with it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But
not a clear victory.
Either one of you think that the next debates, like in the past, that are going to be viewed more now because of what happened?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think so. And I think that, listen, don't underestimate the guy.
You're right.
Don't underestimate the guy.
Absolutely right.
There's a lot of people out there.
Oh, I underestimate him.
There's a lot of people out there who watched that last night and said, you know, he's maybe not the brightest one out there, mm-hmm. but for God's sakes, he believes in America.
I like his conviction.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't think it was a knockout for Kerry. It was very close.
You're right. It was not.
How much do you think? Don't look at me like that. I'd love to come and say Kerry slayed him.
I'd like to go back and check your talking points to this entire election, and I'm gonna follow you into the polling booth.
Listen, here's the deal.
I'm gonna follow you into the voting booth.
What's the problem with this? What? I am going to vote for Kerry. I've told you that. I've pissed off my wife because I've sworn on my son's life she doesn't like it when I do that.
Oh.
But I want to tell you.
So your wife's for Kerry, right?
Yeah. I don't think it matters how many people I know are for Kerry. I still think Bush is going to win because I think there's a lot of dumb people in this country who buy into what he was doing. I think there's a lot of people.
But you will agree that after last night, it certainly makes it a more of a close race than it was before.
Well, just have to wait for the poll.
No, I don't.
You don't.
I don't see this.
You don't think that last night's going to change the actual numbers as far
no.
as... I mean, I do.
I don't see that as a big momentum.
I think it was going to be an overwhelming victory.
I don't think
it'll be an even more overwhelming victory.
I don't think people are getting up today and the first thing they're saying is, boy, Kerry kicked ass last night. Or, boy, Bush looked off. It was like, it's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it is.
I don't think I woke up saying that he kicked ass. I just think that... I've always believed with the polls that are out right now, I go the opposite way from you. I think more people are, they're not talking about it as much, but more people are ready for a change right now because of the circumstances that we're in. That's what I think. And the polling data says I'm wrong about that.
Here's the other thing with him, with Kerry. I'm sorry. Even when he's saying stuff that I believe, dude. You know, go take a speech class. Really, sometimes it's just, even though he only had 2 minutes, he'd lose me. Now, Bush doesn't lose me. You know why he didn't lose me? Because he's
gaps.
So freaking funny to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's different. Kerry, I'm watching going, come on, get to the point.
Right.
Get to the... Bush, all you got is him.
Well, they're calling it the professor versus the cowboy, is what they were.
I would not disagree with that.
Was it Tom Shales who said it was a debate between Andy Griffith and Barney Fife?
That is so
true. That's good, too.
And Barney Fife was always the one that you looked at more. You know, that's
right.
The way that
it was funnier.
Barney Fife is funnier.
Although it was the Andy Griffith show.
Yes,
you remember that.
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't, you know, it's weird because I don't want to make it like a Red Sox bet because I don't think that...
But I don't want to bet on Bush.
I don't. I think the polling data might.
Oh, it depends what the bet is, though.
Yeah. Just because the last election, where were we in the? I mean, in the last election, it was kind of the same thing, right? It was the similar kind of polling numbers, basically.
Very close.
It was very close between the two guys. I think it's going to be more skewed this time. I think a lot of people aren't saying it, but they're going to vote a certain way.
I hope you're right.
Let's take a couple of calls, like for 2 minutes on this. Then we'll be done with this serious part of the show. Valerie.
Yes. The point where the comment, who was the guy that was, Blair?
Jim Blair.
When he told them, he asked a question about a time frame for getting the troops out. And Bush said, well, when the mission is accomplished, I think Kerry should have jumped in and said, well, you said that a year and a half ago.
I think everybody today on both sides had criticisms that there were opportunities for the candidates to jump in when they didn't do it.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Dynamite.
Hi there.
It's hard work.
You know, two things stop points-wise that I noticed about the debate was John Kerry's queer smile every time Bush was talking.
Anything wrong with that.
That toothy Northeast just weird smirk on his face bugged me all night.
The toothy smile, the one guy had the smirk, the other guy had the queer smile.
Right.
So a Northeastern smile, you'd vote against that.
Hey, guys, everybody, just settle down. Everybody knows where we're
curious.
Going on this show.
He said Northeastern.
I'm a Northeastern. I'm from Maine. I'm a Northeastern. I can plug myself.
Who did you like in the debate?
I thought it was pretty even by the end of the night.
Who are you gonna, are you, have you decided who you're going to vote for yet?
Don't get mad.
I'm gonna vote for Bush, I think, in the end game. Yeah, John Kerry's I read too much of him in Boston papers. He's just a whack job.
A whack job.
All right, yeah, come on.
But Bush.
Okay, I hung up on him so you wouldn't get mad. You know what I know when you're getting mad? When you go to get the swig of the drink,
right?
And it's like almost a guy who's loading himself with some ammo. You go to get the drink, get a big swig,
right?
Sit up a little bit,
right?
Like you're ready to take the gloves off.
It is
off.
A free country. I have no intention of taking the gloves off against that moron.
Let's go to David. Hello, David.
Hey, this is David. You were talking about that piece.
Whoa, what's happening in back there? What's going on?
Oh, no, I'm up in Sacramento. You know Sacramento.
Could be anything.
Anyways, I was talking. You were talking about that piece between the nose. It's like his lips getting bigger right there. It's called the philanthrum.
Oh, and you know who else? You know who else has that monkey look?
Oh.
Johnny Carson did.
Yeah.
The same also body language as Bush has.
Kind of the thin lips.
Yeah. It's known in fetal alcohol syndrome babies.
Get out of here. See, now that you think's okay. What do you want?
I'm a total partisan. We got to get rid of the president. We got to get a new guy in there. Yes, I say it from the highest mountaintop. I scream it. I'm a partisan. I am a partisan. I believe in it. More than I've ever believed in my entire life. And people on the radio like me, more of us have to say it if we believe it. That's the difference. That's the way I feel right now.
And I'm just being a realist. I'm just trying to pick a winner.
Well, you're not as passionate about it as I am. I mean, I am very, very passionate. You know, I've felt that way for a long time, and you know, it's just.
I mean, no offense.
Mm-hmm.
You really think if Jesus Christ Himself came back to run for president,
mm-hmm.
do you really think everything in America would be better?
I don't understand what you mean. What do you mean by that?
I think it's an impossible job. I think no matter who
the presidency?
Yeah, who you get in there, it's going to be screwed up and everybody's going to be mad at it.
Well, you kind of said that last election, too. That's the way you feel, and we disagree on that. I think it's important to, you know, to... Who knows? I don't blame the current guy for what's happened, the horrible things that have happened in this world, but I do believe in the fact that I think if we make a change now that hopefully... We can put the country in a better direction. That's it. That's
well, certainly you want the best guy in the presidency mm-hmm. as possible, but also one has to keep in mind that's still just one third of the government, and that's really not where most of the power is.
Yeah,
but but obviously you want the best person there. But just by putting,
but we've turned it into American Idol now. This is the thing, Mike. You take it so seriously, and a lot of people do. But the way
have Simon replace Jim Lehrer,
even the way that it was set up last night. I mean, come on, the lights, and you know you've got 5 seconds left. Will you get buzzed or won't you get buzzed?
But you know what?
I didn't mean like that.
It's all we have. It's what we're talking about. It's what people are interested in today. And we pay attention to it. I think that's good that we do pay attention to it.
I agree.
The only people maybe it's because I feel the way I do. I get frustrated with the people that are undecided at this stage of the game because I think that with all the information that's out there, all the information that's well, I get frustrated with them. I don't want to have them put to death or anything like that.
I think everybody should have their minds made up before Labor Day. Then we could just save time. Mm-hmm. And then CSI would have been on last night, for God's sakes.
There you go.
You know, that's the big problem. You know what? I want to vote for President Leslie Moonves. Because he puts CSI on three nights a week.
You may get your chance.
He gets my vote.
Okay.
So that's that about the debate. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Everybody cool?
Cool. It makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? Politics in general.
Only because... to a large extent, I don't care. I have such little faith in government. I have such little faith.
Right.
I really think we're hanging by the tiniest of threads. Like I said, Vince Lombardi could come back and be president. And I would
now,
go,
come on now, if that happened, you would get involved. You'd put a bumper sticker on your car if Vince Lombardi came back.
Vince for president.
There you go.
I think so.
And if they were debating football last night.
Well,
yeah. What if that was it? What if, as opposed to actually debating the issues, they didn't know until they walked in there, and it was kind of like Jeopardy, and they threw them a complete, like, random knowledge category.
Now, you know what?
Tonight, potpourri.
Now, hold on.
Almost.
There, I'm for that.
Right.
And it would have to be more serious than what you've brought up. Yeah. But
there would be the chance
that,
you know,
yeah,
that it would be like a Trivial Pursuit thing.
Or like that they would get a Regis and Kelly question.
Exactly.
You know, a question so dumb.
Right.
Everybody wins the trip to Jamaica.
You know, who is the mascot for Sugar? Who was the early mascot for Sugar Pops? You know, say, you know, and all.
Yeah.
Mr. Bunch! Right here. I don't even remember that one.
No.
Oh.
For Sugar Pops?
The mask. I don't know if Sugar Pops had them. Wasn't it a bear?
It
maybe
was.
That was Sugar Crisp.
No, yeah,
that was Sugar Crisp.
That's
right.
And he had a little hat on, didn't he? A red hat? Didn't the thing have a red hat?
I think it was a bird. A bird with like a red plumage up on top.
No, see, it's Pop. Isn't that a good question,
that
though?
That is a good question. Yeah. But Sugar Bear, I do remember clearly. He wore a blue turtleneck.
But it was like, but it would be the entire night. The entire night would be, tonight our category, breakfast cereals.
And
President Spiewak.
We got a break, but I have to tell you also last night at one point during the debate when I was just flipping because I was getting mad and getting bored.
Right.
I came across what's the comedy the Cartoon Network, the other network,
Nickelodeon?
Boomerang.
Boomerang.
Boomerang. They're doing a Top Cat marathon.
Oh, Top Cat. This is my favorite.
I would tell you something. I've not seen Top Cat since I was, I don't know, like 10 years old.
Well, you know, like the marathons are phenomenal. Do you know what my kids just discovered?
What?
The Brady Bunch. And 9 and 7, and they are completely and totally addicted.
I believe
it is all they wanted to watch last weekend, the Brady Bunch marathon. And I found myself actually getting sucked in and realizing what an incredible program that is.
No, I came away saying Top Cat. I was right to like Top Cat.
Oh, Top Cat rocked.
Top Cat was cool.
And that was based on Sergeant Bilko.
Oh, that's right. Even the way that he talked.
Right.
Well, hello. How are you?
Come on, ladies. Here we go. Top Cat.
That's
right.
Him. You got it.
Lives in a trash can.
You got it. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right here on the Jerry Todd Show here this morning. And we'll play the incredible contest in just a sec. But right now, a little business to take care of.
I always watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd weather.
And it looks pretty good, it does. It is going to be cloudy. Don't think it'll rain, though. Let's check the low right now. Overnight low of 45 degrees. That's a little on the chilly side. Checking the high, going to get up to 63 degrees. That's a little warmer.
The Jerry Todd Show.
Okay, here we go. Time to make our next incredible contest cash call. And here's hoping that we have a winner this hour. We're calling at random someone in the local area here on the Jerry Todd Show. And we'll see who we've got on the video phone. Hello. You're on the Jerry Todd Show.
Hello. Who is it?
This is Jerry Todd. Can you tell us how much money is in the incredible contest jackpot this hour?
What?
How much money in the incredible contest jackpot this hour? You can win it all if you know the correct figure.
$2,029.
I'm sorry, you are wrong.
Please.
And we will make another call. Next hour, we'll add $10 to the jackpot. Meantime, right now, on the Jerry Todd Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
They bring you very best wishes. And may Happity and Happy Hawks be with you forever. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Yeah. How you doing anyhow?
How are you anyway?
How are you anyway? How have you been?
Jerry Todd.
How have you been?
I know, baby.
Oh, I got to read a slug here, so let's get the music. Turn off Frankie and the Canuck out. There you go. It's NFL Friday. Rich Eisen will be on later today talking football with Rich. Brought to you by Tower Records, Tower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower. Tower.com. Rich's show, NFL Total Access, weeknights at 7 and 10 on the NFL Network. Last night when I was flipping around, I guess, towards the end of Survivor, when does this thing end? Oh, it still goes on. So, at the end of Survivor, before the debate,
Survivor Vanuatu.
I saw, I believe, what I think is, not counting like CD collections, the first real Christmas commercial.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and yesterday was still September.
Right.
Yes, I mean, October, excuse me, Rocktober.
Yes. Rocktober.
Didn't start until today.
We sit here in each radio market in America waiting for which radio station is going to pull the trigger earliest. And
yeah.
Washington, D.C. is one of the markets where there's speculation that that's going to happen sooner than later. They were even talking about, you know, somebody might go year-round, but now it's who's going to go earliest. And it'll happen before October.
Oh, you mean for the Christmas music?
For Christmas music.
For Christmas music, yes. It's going to happen very
soon. People love it.
Who doesn't?
You know, they ruined Christmas.
Yeah. And here's what's dumb about radio, is that somebody had a good idea 4 years ago for a station in the month of December to play all Christmas music.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right after Thanksgiving, actually.
Right. Well, it worked in one market, and now it's done all over America. In some markets that we broadcast to, I think last year there were up to four stations
right.
in each market playing all Christmas music, mm-hmm. and one of them actually started, the one in Charlotte started, I think, on Halloween.
Halloween, that's exactly when they started it.
So, what's happened is these stations, and now that there's four or five of them all playing Christmas music for a month before Christmas, they've taken their share of the audience, and they're splintering it. So normally, one out of the five stations gets good ratings, but here's where it's such crap. You get the good ratings, but then as soon as Christmas is over,
you go back to your other crap and you tank.
You go back to your bad ratings.
It's like maybe there's a little kid who says, hey, can we have dessert before dinner one night? And you say, this is fantastic.
Radio.
And then, well, this is great. Why don't we do it every night?
You know what we should do with this station? We should have a Christmas music every weekend throughout the year. We need the programming.
Wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Wouldn't change the audience buzz.
It might improve.
And I'm talking about the amount of people.
Right.
Joe, hey, let's hear it for Joe.
Joe, I'm Joe.
He did a web search, and he found... Do you remember the variety packs you used to get as a kid with the Kellogg cereal?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, he found one of these things that has like 10 little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And on Kellogg's Sugar Pops, as you can see, it's a cowboy.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like the Marlboro Man. Yeah. So we were thinking of Post Super Sugar Crisp.
Is that the old one or the new one?
This is the old one.
Oh, yeah, it is.
See it on the bottom? Uh-huh. Bottom right, Mike, there's Super Sugar Crisp.
Because they're called Sugar Pops.
Right.
And they don't call them, what do they call them now? Pops or like you corn
have,
pops? Or
you, have, yeah. You have little
corn
kids,
pops, I
don't
think
know.
They call them that.
Anyway, thank you, Joe. Hey,
Joe.
How about that?
And it was Super Sugar Crisp without the bear.
That's right.
The very cool bear.
Blue turtleneck.
And only Joe came up with that, so I think he should get more than a 2 on his creative report.
That's incredible.
Shaq and Kobe. I've got limited time here. A bunch of stuff I've waited to tell you all week about. Oh, no, this one is... Gosh, I don't know which is better. Shaq and Kobe. Shaq went to ESPN to deny... He did an interview with Dan Patrick to deny what Kobe said. Remember, Kobe said when he was talking to the cops, he ratted out Shaq right away when he was with that girl in Denver.
Right.
He said, I should do what Shaq does. I should pay my women millions of dollars, and this is how Shaq makes it go away.
And I think we agreed on this show that that was kind of a low-rent move to throw one of your teammates at the time under the bus like that.
I mean, come on. The guy just got busted for having sex with this other girl. I mean, that's the first thing you want to do is mention Shaq.
Right.
So Shaq is mad. Now... here's what he said, his real quote, and then I'll read you his rap song he's written about it.
Oh, good.
I love it when Shaq raps.
Yes. What's up, Doc?
First he says, this whole situation am ridiculous. I never hung out with Kobe. I never hung around him. In the 7 or 8 years we were together, this is what he said on ESPN, 7 or 8 years we were together in the Lakers, we were never together. So how he can think he knows anything about me or my business is funny. And one last thing. I'm not the one buying love. He's the one buying love.
Oh, dear. Oh, let it go. Wind it up and let it go.
It's gone.
Oh, you didn't spit.
Yes, I did. You didn't catch it.
Oh, okay, all right.
Catch.
I thought it went back down the windpipe.
No. It's right there. It's in a handy sack, ready to be sent out to one of our money fans.
They're lucky fans all over America.
So that's his quote for ESPN.
Uh-huh.
Now he's written a song about it.
Here we go.
Here we go. This is from Shaq's new album. Even with wings, you never fly as me. You remind me of Kobe trying to be as high as me. But you can't, even if you get traded. Wherever I'm at, I'm Puffy, you're Maze, and you're still MFing hated.
Wow.
My man, Shaq.
Well, I think it's safe to say they don't like each other.
Why do you...
Why did you call Radio Shaq? What's up, Doc? Hey, Dennis. How you doing? Very seriously. Hello. This is Shaquille O'Neal.
And, Dennis Rodman. Hey, Shaq.
What's up, Doc?
You gonna follow my comeback?
I don't pay for love.
I'm making a comeback.
That would...
How are you doing?
What's up, Doc?
How are you doing? Come back. Come back, kid.
Kazam! Why do you think you call Radio Shaq?
She baited me.
The greatest thing would be if Dennis Rodman came back. I think it's with Portland he's talking about. Right. Only so we could do the Shaq and Dennis show again.
Yeah, and Dennis is trying to make a comeback, so we'll see what happens.
Let's see, very quickly, Mike, Mel Brooks is working on Spaceballs 2.
Okay.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, if you want John Candy, get a shovel.
But the thing is, wasn't John Candy really what Spaceballs was all about?
Yeah, but you're going to like this. You know who they're thinking about to replace him? Oh. And this is good casting. Andy Richter.
Oh, good. Okay.
You get Andy Richter to put that big dog suit on.
I like Andy Richter, and as I said the other day, when, if it ever really does happen, Conan hosts The Tonight Show.
Yep.
I hope they bring Andy Richter back and pay him a lot of money.
Amen.
Anyway, Mel Brooks wants to get this out a week before the new Star Wars movie opens.
Perfect.
So good for Mel Brooks. That is... That's Mel Brooks. Hold on a second. Oh, Cameron Diaz. This was in the newspaper today. Now, I'm certainly not advocating that anyone not vote. You must vote. Even if you, like me, think it's hopeless.
Right.
Even I'm going to vote. Even though I'm good here telling you. Mike I don't think it matters, I'm going to vote.
Yes, and it's an important election this year more than ever. Vote.
You got to vote. So, Cameron Diaz.
New and improved Yucatana!
Right? Cameron Diaz was on the Oprah show yesterday.
Mrs. Timberlake.
She was talking about voting. Now, also on Oprah's show yesterday, she had quite a panel of political experts.
Okay.
It was Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore.
Oh, God, man.
Christina Aguilera, and Sean Combs. Discussing politics.
Okay.
Here is what Cameron Diaz said. Quote, she's speaking of women, we have a voice now, and we're not using it. Women have so much to lose. I mean, we could lose the right to our bodies. We could... If you think that rape should be legal, then don't vote. Thank you, Cameron.
Didn't realize that was on the line.
Nor did I, and I read that and thought...
If you think that rape should be legal...
Don't vote. So now I'm thinking, you know, this election doesn't really mean a lot to me. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sometimes celebrities ought to just shut up.
Yeah, really.
New and improved Yucatana!
Jim Lehrer said that last night.
You know, it's so funny because I saw Drew Barrymore was on that Bill Maher show, the guy you hate, Bill Maher.
I hate Bill Maher.
And you know, I will give him credit with this interview because she had Drew Barrymore talking about why she's discovered voting. Because this is a new thing. She's never voted before, apparently. Right. And now she's determined that it's important to vote. And she goes through this convoluted explanation of exactly why she thinks people should vote. And it's about empowerment and myself. And Bill Maher wasn't having any. I mean, she was so... You want to see an advertisement for an airhead.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Interview Drew Barrymore. Because she is way out there.
Well, she was on this Oprah show. And that's the quote.
Cameron Diaz, and I hope she was sitting next to Drew Barrymore.
If you think rape should be legal, then don't vote. Honey, you just hurt the cause of getting out the vote.
Jesus, on that set of Charlie's Angels, they must have been sucking helium all the time.
Oh, man, we got a break. But I've got two feel-goods. I've been waiting all week. And Rob, I'm definitely going to need the banjos for one of them. First, from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
A guy thought his wife was having an affair.
Uh-oh, that's always trouble.
She came home from having the affair.
Right.
Allegedly. Changed her clothes and left. The guy picked up the woman's pants, smelled them, decided that there was something that had been going on.
Ew.
He then set the pants on fire. Oops. Pants were made of a non-flame retardant material.
Oh, no.
His house burned to the ground.
Oh, God.
Instantly.
Wow.
And
he made his point.
No, incidentally, they checked into it. She's not having an affair.
Oh, no.
That's a feel good.
Oh, that is a
feel
good.
That's a feel good.
That's a great feel
good.
You
burned down your own house with her pants.
A lesson for us all.
But even better than that, now this one doesn't end in death, but it's a great one.
Okay.
Okay. From West Virginia, there's a father and son getting ready to have dinner. This is just this Sunday night. And they're on the low-carb Atkins diet.
Good for them.
So, they're trying to discuss the best way to make skinless chicken.
Okay.
Started out, each of them had a recipe. It escalated. The father wanted to use his recipe. Son wanted to use his recipe. Wondering the ages here? Dad is 50. Son is 29.
That's
in the backyard, by the grill, arguing about the best way to cook skinless chicken.
Right.
Well, it finally got to the point where each man pulled out their own handgun. As it turns out, Dad had a .22 caliber, and Son had a matching one. The dad was struck by a bullet that went through the upper part of his right ear and lodged in the back of his head.
Oh, my God.
The other one missed.
No. Wow, all over chicken.
Yeah, that's a feel-good.
Oh,
that's great. So they're trying to decide the best way to have the Atkins-like meal.
Yeah, and I guess the son won.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you bet the son won.
What if he ate the chicken after he shot Dad in the head?
Pull out the gun. And Mike, here is the photo. Oh, anyway, there's a... Oh, never mind. That's a photo from another story.
Wow, you got to love.
I'm just another dead guy. I just had a picture of another dead guy,
and that was a real story. And I'd like to point out a real story, not a joke.
No,
about West Virginia.
That's right.
A true story
true
from
story.
West Virginia.
Right.
The chicken, like the son's ear, both skinless and boneless.
So that's all I have for you. I got a lot more to get to.
Yeehaw!
What can I say? You know, vote.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Absolutely. Well, listen to what Cameron Diaz has to say.
We'll be right back with the Friday favorite.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ah, fall's here. That means carting your kids everywhere and feeling like you got to be in a half a dozen places at once.
Well, you can't, but you can stay in touch with OnStar Personal Calling.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free photo built into your OnStar-equipped vehicle.
Now listen to me. Voice-activated dialing and hands-free operation keep your eyes off the road and your hands on the wheel.
No, listen to me. It offers better connectivity in areas with limited phone cell reception because it has more broadcast power and an externally mounted antenna.
And if you have no hands, don't worry. There's no phone to hold, no battery to recharge, and no additional long distance or roaming charges.
How could you drive if you have no hands?
I'm sorry.
I'm sure that they have something for people. I'm sure there's some kind of contraption.
Unless a beautiful lady from Chicago.
He drives.
Mike, as George Bush would say, it's just the right phone in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
OnStar.com, over 50 GM models, including MSRP, under $16,000. For info, please be going to OnStar.com.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
WKFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly.
The Don and Mike Show.
They only hit you because they love you. Don and Mike.
Right. Have a great weekend, everybody. In Baltimore, let's go Ravens on Live 105. Buffalo! Buffalo Bills there at 92.9. WBUF, of course. Today is October. What?
You missed it by one day, Jack.
I know, that's why I'm playing September today, because it's the first day of October.
And this is my weekend song right here. This is the one that I want to dance to.
Let me see. Las Vegas, KSFM, and Washington, D.C., the home of the Redskins, 106.7.
I'm dancing like a fat woman.
Hey.
You mean sexy? But you keep your arms in one place. And
you look like
shoulders.
All of those women at that Al Green concert that I went to that all look like Florida Evans.
Right? You keep your arms in that one spot and you just kind of go, whoa.
And if you just went, damn. No,
James is dead. Damn.
Oh, listen.
Oh, JJ.
Friday favorite here.
Yay. We go.
It's game time now on JJ with cash for you and
they all watch CSI, right? Except last night. stupid debate was on no CSI. There is also a CSI Miami that stars David Caruso.
I want to reach out to you. Hi, Don.
How are you, Dave?
I'm confused.
Why?
Well, what we've got here looks like an air studio.
Yeah.
But what I see is more like a murder.
You have a very distinct cadence when you deliver your lines on CSI Miami.
There's a very clear way to do it. And the way to do it is always to follow someone around and pretend like you're whispering to them.
Can you do it again?
I just want you to know one thing.
What's that?
When you look in back of you,
yeah,
I'll be the one following you.
Now, you were washed up, right, after NYPD Blue?
I was washed up. Anyone who saw the movie Jade, my cinematic tour de force.
How could you possibly remember that?
Jade. Do you remember me and Jade? I sucked.
You were awful.
As a matter of fact, in general, if I hadn't...
You know what else? You were in Proof of Life with Meg Ryan and Russell Crowe. You sucked in that.
I sucked in every feature film I've ever done. But it's good to be on CSI Miami, because I went back and talked the same way I did in NYPD Blue. Just remember...
What?
When you pick up the telephone...
Right.
That voice you hear is going to be mine.
Aren't you worried that even more with William Peterson on CSI, where they give him corny lines and then he does his, you know, they play their stinger. That's all they give you is corny lines.
But you'll notice on CSI Miami,
yeah,
that I'm always there. It's almost like I teleport in. I always show up at the scene of the crime.
And why do you always wear your sunglasses, even when you walk into buildings on the show?
I'd like to point out to you that I'll be asking the questions now. That's my job. That's what I do. If I want to reach out to you, I will call you.
Do you carry that thing with you everywhere, that...
Yes.
That whatever, that bow, yeah, that thing... That
everywhere I go.
It's handy.
Just look for the stainless steel Hummer. I can deal with the fact that I'm on a spinoff. It wasn't easy to get here by my normal mode of travel. A swamp boat, zooming with my beautiful red hair blowing behind me. I enjoyed that. And, of course, my beautiful CSI Hummer.
Yes.
Have you seen my Hummer?
Oh, have I? You drive it everywhere on that show.
I'd like to reach out to everybody on your show and tell you that each and every one of you have a chance to ride in my Hummer.
Now, is this a contest or is that just another one of your corny lines?
I was always disappointed that I could not have appeared in the movie Jaws, because I always thought personally that I would be better at saying the line that Richard Dreyfuss had. And then I could bring my little special tape recorder.
All right, go ahead. Give it a shot.
This was no boating accident.
You're right.
Well, no, I don't see why you couldn't steal that line and use it on your show. Don't you have, like, boating accidents in Miami and CSI?
We have boating accidents everywhere. Maybe I could say that. And that little Kittner boy will spill all over the dock. But I like CSI, and I especially like the fact that I'm overmodulated and they can mic me, because every line that I deliver, if you'll notice, is whispered. My favorite time is when I get to confront the suspect each and every week. And incidentally, call me H.
Hey, H.
I'm H.
What's happening, H?
Just remember, I'm going to follow you until the day you die.
Now, what is the storyline? It's...
My hair looks like a pack of Twizzlers.
There is that incredibly beautiful woman who plays, the woman that was married to your brother on the show.
Emily Proctor is the one that I like. She's the blonde, not the lady that I'm interested in. I always said to the producers,
yeah,
I want to reach out to you. Why can't I have a relationship with Callie, the ballistics expert?
Right.
CSI Miami.
Right.
She's the real piece of ass.
You know, although I'll say, that blonde is hot, too.
Yeah.
What's her name again?
Emily Proctor. I call her Callie on the show.
Now, have you ever...
Show me where this bullet was. There's one bullet in the wall and one in the murder.
You ever got a chance like to go into her trailer? And...
I had feelings in my loins for Rory Cochran, too.
Oh, is he the guy that got killed off?
Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. And I've made somebody on that. And the guy that I make for that crime...
Who?
...is Buzz Burbank.
Why?
But you have to understand, it's the skinny ones that cause most of the trouble. You two, you and your partner, are off the hook.
Thanks.
And that guy back there, not even near a crime scene. Don't worry about the big-headed boy with the flat hair.
Hold on, look at him, though, and tell me something. Look at him and tell me. Could you not see spousal abuse?
Come over here.
And I don't mean I don't mean perpetuated on Rob. I mean perpetuated by Rob.
Yeah. I want you to know one thing.
Yes, H.
I know your wife, Carrie. She's a friend of mine. You're not. And every time you look over your shoulder, that's going to be me in your rearview mirror. And in order to do that, you would have to take a rearview mirror
and attach it to your shoulder.
And put it down your shoulder, which means I'd actually be standing in front of you.
But with that music, I never even questioned the logic.
Absolutely, and I'm going to need to take some fibers off of that jacket.
Oh, you may have some.
And can I have a cotton swab?
Of course.
I'm going to have to swab the inside of your cheek, and I mean it. My name's Horatio Kane. I need you to sit down for a second, open your mouth wide. I'm going to take a little swab. He's the one that I make for this crime.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about when you get mad? Because it still is an understated, but still, like if you get someone in your interrogation room.
That's when I stand up, and I'm saying, we're going to go right now. You're going to sit your ass down, and we're going to have that discussion. But my voice never gets this big. Now, come over here, Rob.
He's got the swab.
What are you going to do, Rob?
Open your mouth.
He's really taking a sample. All right.
Oh, you really got some of Rob's DNA on there.
I've got Rob's DNA.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I can do...
Let's isolate that.
I've got Rob's.
Who is that? Mike O'Mara's got Rob's DNA.
I have...
Excuse me, David Caruso.
That's right.
H has got Rob's DNA.
H has Rob's DNA.
Uh-huh.
Once we get this in the lab,
yeah,
we're going to process it. And we'll find out if he is indeed the great batterer. We found a few things in the swamp that we want to talk to Rob about. I wanted to reach out to you. You've got one chance and one chance alone. I don't use hair mousse. I use Ragu brand spaghetti sauce. The color is just right. My flame red hair.
Beautiful.
I live in Miami. I own a home in Miami.
I hope you realize...
Why don't I have a tan?
I hope you realize...
You can't stand the
that
sun.
That just about any actor worth... Oh, now...
That's another thing. That's another swab. I was fooling you.
It looked like you were licking the swab that had been in Rob Spiewak's mouth.
Let me explain it to you.
Yeah.
Technically, if we did that, Rob and I would be exchanging saliva. Not in my town. Because this is my town, and you'll play by my rules, or you'll go into my jail. That line courtesy of Buzz Burbank. Always easier to do the impression if you watch the show more.
Are you jealous of William Peterson?
Insanely.
Yeah.
He better not step foot in Miami.
Because, you know, he badmouths your show all the time. He says there should only be one CSI, not, let alone two. Now there's three of them.
Well, if you look closely at Peterson.
Yeah.
On CSI Original.
Yeah.
You'll notice, if you get really close.
Yes.
That's not a TV actor. That's an advertisement for Grecian. I said Grecian formula. I hate it when Roger Daltrey yells at me.
Are you a natural redhead?
I'm a natural redhead. I can prove it to you right now.
Oh, no.
We're going to have to take a sample of that hair.
Oh.
If you'd like a sample of that hair, I can get you one right now. Hold on just a second.
I don't want a sample of that.
There it is.
That's an awful strand.
I look at this, I realize you could hang Christmas ornaments with it. What a treat that would be. It's kind of in the holiday season. Technically, if you get a white and green ornament, you'll have the perfect three colors for Christmas. I'm Horatio Kane. Sipowicz hates me.
Yeah, what was the deal on that show? You were good on that show, and you and Sipowicz had some good chemistry together.
I wanted to reach out to him, but unfortunately he had a severe problem that we all know and everyone on the show knew.
What's that?
Odor.
Like you never cut one?
Hold it a second. Never before on any television show has there been a guy that looked more like he smelled than Sipowicz. Mm. Dennis Franz had an odor issue. I left the show because I couldn't stand working on a day-to-day basis. And as many times as I would reach out to him and say, Dennis, soap and water, please, he'd reject me. Huh. And since he rejected me, I went off to make Jade.
But you're very lucky that you got another shot at having a TV show.
Yeah.
I actually saw you on one of those Dumb People's Choice Awards where you actually appeared to be touched that you had won this award. What are you looking at, the hair?
When I pulled my hair, it unraveled like a dog food bag string. Unfortunately, that's causing me a bit of distress right now.
Sure.
I'll just tie it to my belt.
That's
no hair, problem at all.
That's hair from you, right?
Yeah, hair from me. I have an interesting hair pattern. Most pale redheads do, if you'll notice down there. It's not like other people.
What, like you and Conan O'Brien?
That's why we're one in a million.
Huh.
I've reached out to Conan. I said, let's compare all sorts of our hair.
Hair?
Yes. From down there, underarms, legs, forehead, ear. And, of course, as I get older,
yeah.
I have red ear hair. Do you like my Miami suit that I'm wearing?
Yeah, it's great. It looks designer-ish.
I want you to pass along a message to Peterson for me.
Yeah.
He couldn't button my vest.
Wow. Sorry, it was late on the music game.
The producers have only one piece of information for me to abide by when I'm doing the show.
Okay.
CSI Miami.
Yeah.
Keep David out of the sun.
Yeah.
I get a sunburn if I go near a Bic lighter.
Oh, no, you're very...
That's scared. My problem. So I stay out of the sun as often as I can.
We have to take a break, and I think we have a champion, and maybe we only need one challenger. I don't know. Either way, if you want to play the game, Low Budget Jeopardy, call 877-365-3636 and do it right now.
And in my town,
yeah,
if you play the game, you play by my rules. And I like children. That's a simple statement, and you all laugh.
Hold on, I think if you wouldn't mind one time, I'd like to hit you with the music after you make that statement.
This is Horatio Kane, and I like children.
Oh, boy.
Go to my website. Have another hair.
Let's stop and take two calls right now.
Two calls, no more, or you're not going to be playing by the rules.
We'll be right back with Low Budget Jeff RD.
I'll be watching you.
No, you will.
Of course I will. God, it's sunny in here.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show. Promoting voluntary sterilization. The Don and Mike Show.
What, David?
I'm angry with your spam.
Why?
Because stepping out of the limo on my way into your studio,
yeah,
I bruised my leg, adding to my enormous collection of bruises.
Mm. Well, you bruise easily, don't you?
I have banana-like bruises all over my leg.
We'll be talking to Rich Eisen in a couple of seconds, brought to you by Tower Records, Tower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of the movies and music you love than Tower.
The question I'm going to ask you, do you like my black shorts with my suit jacket?
Yes, I do. However, has anybody hipped you to the fact that hard black shoes with black knee-high socks don't really go with shorts?
If I can wear them in Miami, anybody can wear them, and I'm not going to reach out to you.
Stop yelling and threatening me with your music, for goodness sakes.
You will play by my rules, or I'll give you another one of my hairs.
Wait, hold on. That can't be
playing
while we're playing this music.
This is low-budget effort.
I guess it can.
And now entering the studio is a home center buyer from Buffalo. Let's say hi to Dan Deemer.
Hey, Dan. What's up, my friend?
How are you, Mike? I'm sorry, Don. I apologize. I'm all excited because I'm talking to Horatio.
And now entering the studio is challenger number two. This is an unemployed individual from Reno, Nevada. Let's say hi to Chris Tonpomonia.
Hey. Aren't they all? Hi, Chris.
Hey, LQ, how's it going?
Fellas.
Entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. If you're going to mess around with him, you're going to mess around with me. Now, you two got it?
Yes, sir.
Just take a look at my dead eyes. Go ahead, Don.
Thank you, and guys, here are your categories. They are last night's presidential debates, guests this week on the Don and Mike show.
I'll reach out to them.
This week, starting NFL quarterbacks.
Football is fun. We have a team, the Dolphins.
Which CSI is that?
Ah, thank you for the plug.
And new on DVD.
That's the most emotion you'll get out of it.
So again, guys, here you go. It's last night's debate.
I like the debates.
Guests on the show this week.
My cold, dead, mirthless, lifeless, cloudy eyes.
Starting NFL quarterbacks. Which CSI is that? New on DVD. Chris, we'll start with you.
Give me quarterbacks for one, Don.
All right.
I'm sorry, LQ.
Starting this week for your Houston Texans.
Who is David Carr?
Right.
$1, Chris. During your unemployment, obviously, you've had time to think about these things.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, select again.
I'll take same category for two.
Starting this weekend for your Miami Dolphins.
Who is Dave Fiedler?
Right.
$2, and I believe that Chris is on a roll.
Oh, definitely.
For three, here we go. Starting this weekend for your Oakland Raiders.
Who is Kerry Coleman?
Up, buzzer got you.
The buzzer got you, and Dan, it's your chance to steal.
Oh, boy. Who is Ken Stabler?
That's the Meyer. I was a big fan of the man we called the Snake.
And no, actually, he had it. He just got buzzed. Yeah. Kerry Collins.
And Chris, you're in control.
Chris, go again.
I'll take new on DVD for one.
New on DVD. Here we go. Stars George Bush.
What is 9/11?
Dan, your chance to steal.
I have no idea.
Wow.
Boy, these guys are both dumb. One guy had it, but didn't get it because the buzzer got him.
Uh-huh.
The other guy just didn't know. It's Fahrenheit 9/11. You had it. You were just buzzed out.
Chris, you are in control.
I'll take same category for two.
And I suggest you calm down, take a deep breath.
I will.
And select again.
See, when the questions are very easy, you don't have a lot of time to answer. For instance, how many movies right now out there are starring George Bush?
Not that many.
I mean, I know there's a lot of independent films, but that's the big... Anyway, here we go. I'll give you some extra time on this one because this is a long intro.
Hmm.
Stars Jim Carrey.
What is, Eternal Sunshine on the Spotless Mind.
That's a good poll.
Yeah. $1 for, I'm sorry,
$2. $2.
$2 for Chris. I was jumping the gun. And I still like kids.
let's go. Here we go. New on Divin for three. Stars Billy Bob Thornton.
What is Bad Santa?
Dan, your chance to steal, and I suggest you hurry up.
This isn't my category.
Good, strong answer. The Alamo. I'm sure you would have been slaughtered there.
Hold on a second. Dan?
Yes, sir.
You strike me as a player. Are you a player, Dan?
Obviously not in this game.
If you're a player, I suggest you put on your playing suit. And now, Chris is in control again.
I'll take a guest on the show for one.
Guest on the show this week. Oh, guest on the Don and Mike show. Yeah, we have guests now because we have Beth Ann McBride.
I want to know why Rob wants me to read this.
Why read it?
I love all types of kids. Whites, Mexicans, you name it. Sometimes I have to give Rob a credit.
What about Indian kids?
Indians, too.
Here we go. Guest this week for one. She is a former American Idol finalist.
Who is... Oh.
Diane DeGarmo.
Oh, that buzzer got you, dude.
Yeah, I know. I can get the what is, but I can't get the answer out right now.
Diane, your chance to steal.
Who is Diane DeGarmo?
No, it's Diana DeGarmo.
Oh.
Nice kid. And Chris, you're still in control.
Same category for two.
Our guest this week on the show. They have a TV show on some Discovery Network channel.
Oh, the Furniture Guys.
That was
not in the form of a question.
All right, Dan. It can't get any easier. We're not going to stay in the room much longer if you can't answer this. Your chance to steal.
Who is the Furniture Guy?
Okay.
$2 for you, Dan.
Some might say with a third grade education, who are. We accept it. Who is the Furniture Guy?
Well, thank you.
Occasionally you're penalized for bad grammar, but not this time. And, Dan, I have to say for the first time, you're in control.
Well, thank you. Let's go guest for three, please.
She is the Babylicious host of Accent Hollywood.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, why am I even waiting on this?
Chris, your chance to steal.
Who is Nancy O'Dell?
There you go.
$3 for Chris.
Can I say something?
Amazing lead.
You're a good listener.
Yeah.
Can I say something about that lady you had on the show? All the ladies you had this week?
Yes.
I will solve their murders.
And their kids' murders.
Who's really saying their kids' murders?
Yes.
Leave the dropping to us.
Oh, okay.
Chris. Chris, go again.
The first category, I forgot what it was, but I'll take that one.
Just a little thing called last night's debate.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, no, we've still got CSI, too.
Do the debate.
The debate.
For one.
He wore a blue tie.
Who is George Bush?
Right.
$1 for you, Chris. Select again.
Same category for two.
She wore a white dress suit.
Who is Laura Bush?
Technically, no.
Dan, your chance to steal. I hope you were paying attention.
Who is Laura Hines Carey?
That would be right if her name was Laura Hines Carey.
Oh, jeez.
Teresa Hines Carey, and I even did my research on this, that Teresa Hines Carey had the white suit and Laura Bush had the egg white. It was a slight difference. They wasn't white. What, Mike?
Kids like my hair.
Here we go.
And Chris is in control with $9 right now.
I want to tell H I also have luxurious red hair.
Wonderful. You're a member of the club.
Here we go. Debate for three. Color of the tie worn by John Kerry.
What is red?
Right, there you go. My favorite color.
There you go. And all we've got left now is which CSI is that? Who's in control here,
Chris.
David?
Chris is in control. Chris Tonpomonia.
Yeah.
This is the best CSI. Stars Marg Helgenberger.
What is CSI Las Vegas?
Yeah, we'll give that to you.
I'd like to point out after that.
Buzz, what did you want? CSI crime scene? And
investigator.
Nah,
that's the name.
Las Vegas.
$1 for Chris, and I'll point out after that comment, you've made an enemy and an enemy for life.
Don't worry. I might assault you with a flashlight someday.
Watch out. It'll bruise me.
Yeah. I don't even have to hit you with it.
Brush it up against me.
I just got to turn it on.
The bruise will... Oh, that'll burn me. Burn my skin. I'll look like Freddy Krueger.
CSI for two. Are you guys both still there?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Okay. Who is this? Chris?
Yeah.
Chris, this is the CSI that stars that big load David Caruso.
What is CSI Miami?
Thank you for paying attention, Chris. I'm going to remember you in my dreams. How old are you?
I'm 21.
Perfect. All right.
How about next time you're in Reno, we'll go drinking.
All right, Chris. Don't get happy.
This is the new one.
What is CSI New York?
There you go. And that's it. We're done with the first
round. $3, and that's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy.
Very nicely done, guys. Now, David Caruso, Moody, very, very pale.
I'm not enjoying my time here.
Who's got what?
Well, we've got an incredibly lopsided horse race. Chris has $18. Dan has $2. Ask my young driver to start up the swamp boat. We're almost...
I forgot that you drive that swamp boat all the time. You know that thing, through the Everglades?
I like my swamp boat.
Here's your category, guys, on Final Low Budget Jeopardy. We physically force you both to bet it all, so good luck. Here's your category. There she is, Miss America. And here is the answer. This broad won the Miss America title 2004, representing this fine state. I think this happened a couple of weeks ago. This broad from this state is a Miss America. Answer in the form of a question. Remember, we need the name of the state, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive the guide to dating pale red-haired people. Most washed-out redheads have special needs when dating. And in this book, I've outlined them for you. For example, when dating redheads, stay out of the sun, don't wear black, and above all else,
yeah,
don't stare at the freckles. So if you want a relationship with Carrot Top or Conan O'Brien, Mia Farrow, or Bonnie Franklin, read this book. And remember, when you date a red, you end up in bed. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you very much.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
All right, let's wind this up.
It's time for Don and Mike to play Low Budget Jeopardy.
I fired my first swamp boat captain. Because my hair got caught in the fan. Damn near killed me.
What hair?
Not my hair. It got caught in the
swamp.
Yeah,
but what hair, though?
Oh, the down there hair.
That's what I thought.
That's right. I was playing with it.
Want to talk to here, Chris?
I want to go to Dan first.
Dan, oh, Dan's a big loser thus far, right?
Danny's a big loser.
Dan, let's see. This broad one on Miss America.
Who's
representing
the big loser on Low Budget Jeopardy?
Representing this fine state.
I'm going to guess Florida, because that's where all the hot chicks are from.
I'm sorry, Dan, that knocks you down to zero. It's shuffle on back to Buffalo.
All right, Chris and Reno, you're the big wiener if you got the right answer.
I said, what is Alabama?
That's right.
Wow. And that means you're the big winner, Chris. Chris is the big winner on Low Budget Jeopardy.
That's right. Miss Alabama. And that means, let's see, Chris, you win money. Dan, listen, don't let the screen door hit you on the way out. Don't go away mad. Just go away. Now here's David Caruso to tell you what you guys want. Dave?
All right, Dan, before you take your one-way swamp boat ride back to Idiotville, we've got a prize for you, all right?
Oh, thanks.
You've won a WWE No Mercy Grand Prize. 12 free pay-per-view events. Don't miss WWE No Mercy Live. Sunday only on in-demand pay-per-view. Call your local Comcast or Cox cable system to order. Digital customers enjoy easy ordering using your digital remote. But now let me tell the champion what he's won.
Yeah.
You double your score to $36. We throw in a bonus of $25 for a total. Are you ready? This is almost a record. $61
hey.
For Chris Concomonia.
Good thing Alan ain't here anymore.
Wow. Congratulations, boys, and thanks for playing the game.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, thanks a lot. You guys are awesome.
Thank you very much. Chris and Dan, have a great weekend. And David Caruso, that's the last question I have to ask you.
Ask away.
There is a missing person here.
Mm-hmm.
And they've told us that he's taken another job in another city. They say it's a promotion. It doesn't seem like a promotion. The man's name is Alan Linewand. He used to be the general manager. He's not the general manager anymore. What happened to him?
I know you're saying it's a promotion or a demotion. It's neither.
What is it?
What it looks to me like is a murder. I think, from my investigation,
yeah,
Alan Linewand was shot on a canal by somebody driving by in a swamp boat.
Oh, no.
That's what I think happened to
wow.
him.
Was there a boy on that boat?
There wasn't, but I'll check his suit jacket for red hairs.
Listen, always remember and never forget that Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
It's a production of Colon Incorporated and is distributed by King World.
Damn right.
And I'll be watching you every time you turn around. This is a crime scene.
Toodaloo.
David Caruso.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike, that's what Mike's been doing, like, half... He would do it sometimes
mm-hmm.
off
Playboy,
the air.
Yeah.
He would, like, just kid around, and we said, come on, that's a good one.
Horatio.
There you go.
H. Horatio. Oh. Horatio.
There's another one for your resume.
Thank
when
you.
When we come back...
I know resume.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but it looks like resume.
Sure does.
Huh? We will resume the show
all right.
when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Eddie, it's not to me. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want.
Why, messing with her knee?
Hey, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dale, you gonna give a shot?
Oh, no shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you gotta master the technology of this game.
Yeah, how do you do that, man? Take all those pills and shots, man. Does terrible things to your body.
You last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now, made funnier by the Infinity Lawyers. Yeah. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, I know we're not taking any calls today. We will. We've got a phone scan in. It's Friday, time for Pick the Pros with Rich Eisen. Rich brought to us by Tower Records at Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of music and movies you love. Tower. Yeah, this is the right Van Halen, incidentally. This is
Van Hagar.
Van Hagar. And they're making a new record, my kid told me. Nice. I bet, Rich. Let me ask Rich Eisen. He's on the phone. Hey, Rich.
Hey.
Hey, Rich from the NFL Network. Are you a David Lee Roth or a Sammy Hagar Van Halen fan?
I'm going to go with David Lee Roth.
Ow!
Oh, well, that's, you know, it's split, though. Ow. I mean, isn't it split, really? It is about 50-50.
Oh, hold on. Here's his music. From NFL Total Access, every night at 7 and 10. On the NFL Network, here is the host with the most. He's a delightful smart ass, Rich Eisen. Hey,
what a great intro! A delightful smart ass. I like that, actually.
Well, you are.
That's why we like you. That's why we like you, Rich.
And we like.
I like it. I like it. I'll accept it and run with it.
We like the show. We like the fact that that we got a lot of calls. Beth Ann got a lot of emails when you were on last week.
Oh, great!
A lot of people are digging on your show.
That's right.
Cool.
Let's get right to a lot of this stuff. I watch the Total Access show.
You're on that NFL thing all the time.
Well, what it is it's Sports Center, except it's all NFL.
Exactly.
And all the time. And Richard's show is great. First, Mike, who's got Steve McMahon in fantasy? Rob?
I do not. I have Chad Pennington and Aaron Brooks.
Got it. Okay. I saw last week in the game, McNair gets his back bruised.
Sternum.
He comes out of the game. He's got those gigantic suspenders on. He's got that big. Almost
it looked like he was going fly fishing.
Yeah, like a bulletproof vest. Yeah. Will Steve McNair play this weekend? And if he doesn't, who is Billy Volek?
Okay. Well, I'll take that to use a debate phrase. I'll take that in two parts.
Okay. All right.
First, I would say Steve McNair is going to play this weekend. Certainly, based on the up to the minute news wire we have received here at NFL Total Access Studios in Los Angeles, that Steve McNair has improved according to his coach significantly. That he stretched and ran today, but didn't throw any passes. But that's all I think you really need to know.
Okay.
I mean, if he's stretching and he's running,
he's
and is improved significantly according to his coach, and you know, Jeff Fisher said that if he's going to feel good, then he's going to go, and they're going to have a walk through Saturday out in San Diego. So I would say that you're going to see him. But if he can't go at all, or he can't finish the game, then Billy Volek's going to come in, and Volek is a terrific backup. He's from Fresno State, so his college football fans might be familiar with
him. Now, Rich, they let Neil O'Donnell go because they like this guy, right?
Well, I mean, Neil O'Donnell he's now a correspondent, I think, for Nashville Action News or something like that. I think he's an anchorman. He's like the Ron Burgundy of Nashville right now. But Volek last year played one game that McNair couldn't go, and he beat the Buffalo Bills, nearly throwing for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, and that might be a reason why the Bills went hard after him in the offseason to back up Drew Bledsoe.
You know, you can really realize that it's an NFL injury when you read some of these injury reports. I think everybody in day-to-day life, if you play softball or something, they can relate to a pulled hamstring. But when I read bruised sternum, that sounds like an NFL injury.
Yeah,
man, that sounds painful.
And it's Steve McNair. It happens all the time.
Yeah, he gets hurt. But a bruised sternum, I mean, it seems to me like most of us wouldn't be able to get out of bed.
Now, Rich, I've just been handed a note that you're a little limited today. Who you got to talk to today? Sean Alexander?
Yeah, Sean Alexander's in today.
Then let me just get.
But go for it. I mean, we've got a little more time.
I know we do, but there's even more stuff than I knew we were going to talk about. I was watching your show today. Now this weekend, the Buffalo Bills, who were we were on in Buffalo and we're on all over New England, play the Patriots. You're talking to Who was the guy that used to be? You know, those guys, they've changed teams a million times. And they go from Buffalo to New England. Anyway, what you're saying is there's a book out that's been written about the New England Patriots, and it has a lot of bad stuff in it about the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I mean, it's a book based on the last few years. I mean, Bill Belichick gave access to a Boston Globe columnist who's
right
now sold his soul to IMAX. He's wrote this book, and it's in it. There's a lot of discussion of what Belichick said in scouting reports and confidential meetings. And Belichick surprisingly gave this guy some serious access.
So
it's, there's some uncomplimentary things about Lawyer Malloy and Drew Bledsoe in there.
Right.
So you know, I know these guys are going to use it, but it just to show you how serious the Patriots are. I mean, here's a team that's going for its 18th straight win, and they lost to Buffalo week one last year, 31-0, and they're talking about exacting some revenge. I mean, and you'd think they would have done that week 17 last year when they beat them by the same 31-0 score. So they're just using whatever they can to stay focused on the task at hand, which is the old winning one at a time. And that's going to be a great game because the Bills, as you mentioned, with this book or with getting smacked down 31-0 themselves last year and being 0-2, they're a little pissed off themselves.
And listen, Rich, this is not really football related, but that Michael Vick commercial, has to be the coolest commercial.
Are you talking about the one with the amusement park ride?
Yeah, Michael Vick experience.
Now,
probably the best new commercial I have seen. I finally saw it. About 8 people asked me to see this.
How many people would die to go on a ride that?
Yeah, it does. It does really speak. It really hits it. It's funny that the Vick run that sealed the deal against the Arizona Cardinals last week in the fourth quarter, that 58-yard run he had.
Yes.
It looks like the Michael Vick experience from the commercial.
Very true, the way that he flips over and the way that he cuts.
Well, the way that he moves through the line, you know, the secondary.
Maybe I would like to see every running back run on tiptoes like that. It would be amazing.
If you look at on NFL Total Access tonight, Steve Sable has his usual interesting take as he does every Friday, you know, and God bless him. He says that the Vick Falcons of 3-0 remind him of the Steve Bartkowski Falcons of 78 and actually connected those dots. I don't know how that's possible, but he did. And, we replay that run through NFL Films capturing that Michael Vick run. And it does look exactly like the Michael Vick experience.
I'd love to see that and compare the two.
I mean, take a look at it. It's like, wow, I've seen that before. Oh, yeah, it's that commercial.
We just went on full-time this week in Houston. KIKK. Let's talk about the Texans. I saw David Carr on your show like a month ago, and the dude says, I'm not going to... Now, I don't remember exactly what he said. It was something like, I'm not going to get a haircut until we win. If it was 2 road games in a row or 2 home games in a row, either way... I saw him on your show this week. He's got long hair.
He does.
They won last week. If they win this week, will he cut his hair?
It's a great question. You know, I think we need to dredge up that piece of Texans cam footage. If he did, then we'll have to get him back. But they've got a serious game this weekend with the Raiders, who have done it in so many different ways in the first 3 weeks, and now they've got another quarterback change with Kerry Collins. So. They come down to Houston, and if Houston can pull off the at Kansas City against Raiders double dip, I think he should go bald.
And what, Rich, from what you hear from people inside your network and everything else, what's wrong with Kansas City?
Well, you know, I think the general consensus is that, you know, the defense has not been improved at all, and their wide receiving core is just not as vaunted as it once was. That Eddie Kennison's a year older, that same thing with from Morton, and Dante Hall is more of a specialist, not your every down go downfield stud, you know, I mean, that he is the X factor. He's not the Y and the Z factor either. So, who is Trent Green going to get the ball through? That the offense is more one note with Priest Holmes, and people can load up for that, even though he did run for 150 yards last week anyway.
That doesn't really matter if they load up for that, right?
I think last week's just a little different that, you know, teams that are going to be losing are more apt to just get caught like that, you know? I mean, that the first 2 games was just the usual thing that defense could not stop a team enough for the offense to do anything. It certainly was week one was that exact loss in Denver. Week two was more of the offense sputtering a bit, but the defense not holding their weight. And then this one was just a collapse. I mean, that Trent Green pick return for touchdown
was a killer.
It was a turning point for both teams. You could look back maybe down the road.
Is this the turning point usually, and I'll ask both of you this, in the NFL season where you really, I mean, you got some of these teams that are 0-3 where basically one more loss and it's really time to start thinking about next
year
already?
Well, Rich, you would know, but I know that there are teams that have, didn't San Diego start 0-4 and go to the Super Bowl?
The last 0-3 team to make the playoffs was the 98 Bills.
Wow.
Before that was the 92 Chargers.
Wow.
I would imagine for an NFL coach, that's got to be tough. Your team goes 0-4.
Well, what about
just keep the guys motivated for the rest of the season.
What about the other side? Last thing here, then we'll get to the picks. About the Giants. 2 weeks ago, when they got killed in their first game, it was Cam Coughlin, and you got to be 5 minutes early.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they win two in a row. And Kurt Warner, everybody in our league is looking to pick this guy up to be their backup quarterback all of a sudden. That's, Mike, I think that's where you, like, if you win one or two games.
I look forward to it, you know, because everybody was telling me, and I'm a Giants fan, everybody was telling me how bad the Giants were going to be, and to see them have a start like this, I'm really going to enjoy the Green Bay Packers game, but I'm a little worried about it.
So, Rich, how does it go that all these players are pissed about Coughlin and his rule?
Or are they still pissed?
Yeah, that's
because
the question.
It's called winning, masks everything.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people say about the Chiefs, too, is that they won games last year that masked, their mediocrity. I don't agree with that. You know, that you are who you are, to use the Bill Parcells, vernacular, that your record is who you are. You know, you could be a great team, but if you're 0-3, you're 0-3. So, but winning masks everything, man. You know, I mean, winning will make you show up 5 minutes early for a meeting that makes you on time.
Let me ask you a Coughlin question, though, because you look at Coughlin and you compare him to Bill Parcells as far as the toughness aspect. But it seems to me that Parcells has that certain something, even though he works on guys and he gets in guys' heads. Coughlin doesn't seem and never has seemed to me to have that, does he?
Well, I mean, I think Coughlin, you know, could be. Coughlin learned at Parcells' knee, you know. I mean, Coughlin is a Parcells disciple, but he just doesn't have the two trophies.
You know what it is that you don't see, though, with Coughlin? Like, for instance, last week, I know in the Dallas game, now, Parcells has a history with Terry Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
You call him She when they were with the Patriots.
Yeah, they've had quite a few public displays of affection the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, last week, Terry Glenn, in the game against the Redskins, lays out, it was either on
the catch.
The catch. And Parcells goes over on the sidelines and, you know, does that thing where he pats him on the helmet and says, good play. And reading his lips, it looked like Terry Glenn said something like, see what she can do.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but.
No, I don't know if I missed the subtitles on that
but,
one.
But that's where Parcells does that. I don't think Coughlin does
and
that.
And that's the thing I was saying. Coughlin doesn't seem to do that. As Rich said, you know, Parcells has the trophies to show for it. You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, Giants go 7-1. You'll probably hear some players saying they love Coughlin.
Hey, Rich, is Miami the worst team in the league, do you think?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think the Niners would have to give them battle for the team that's looked the weakest, even though San Francisco lost a couple early on close. But that game against Seattle this past week was really, you know, I hope for their case, rock bottom. But,
okay.
You know, Miami's offense is just is in disarray. They have 9 new starters, you know, coming into this year. And Fiedler's going back in there, which I think is probably the right move at this point in time.
But didn't that come out and say something real wishy-washy, like he's the quarterback
for this week?
This week,
pretty safe to say.
You know, against the New York Jets, this gives us the best chance to win. Which you read between the lines as I'm going week to week here. Which
right.
You know is the general consensus of NFL players and you know observers is that you can't do that in pros like you could do in college. You can't change quarterbacks each week because they're viewed as the team leader, and, you know, you've got to work on timing with
you got to get one
as
guy.
Well as Blythe, the line, you know, and that's what Lincoln Kennedy said on our air this week, that the linemen need to know who's back there.
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say Ricky Williams isn't going to be walking through Miami Airport anytime soon.
Well, I mean, you never know, man. I mean, $8.6 million is
a lot of dough.
Off up.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a lot of
you got to have a revenue stream to pay for that.
That's a lot of dough. Rich, I know you got to go to do this.
Sean Alexander, he's on tonight. He's here in person spending his bye week with us. We're thrilled about that.
All right, so here's how we've decided to do the picks with Rich.
Okay.
So that Rich can keep his integrity.
Right.
Keep his integrity.
Some might say he lost that coming on this show.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. Rich will present them. You and I will pick them.
Very good.
All right, Rich, game number one, please.
Starting with a game I will be really excited to see this week, Falcons at Panthers.
All right, mark my words, Mike. This is the Atlanta Falcons. Big.
I'm going to agree with you because I you know, you've said that all along, but I think obviously the record speaks for itself, and 3-0 is 3-0. I think you're right.
Okay. What's next, Rich?
Colts at Jags.
There's no way Jacksonville is a real 3-0 team. Indianapolis is too good. I take the Colts.
I'm going to disagree with you here. I like Jacksonville.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I like Jacksonville in this
game. You're kidding?
Yeah, I think they're for real.
Okay.
Nice.
That's a nice reaction, though. I like
the Giants at the Packers.
No doubt the Packers. No doubt. And, Rich, hold on before Mike answers. Was that not one of the greatest games last week?
It's phenomenal.
Packers and the Colts. Anyway.
Yes, worthy of our game of the week status here at NFL Network.
I will bet with my heart this week and pick my New York Giants.
Oh, yeah. I wish we had money. Mm-hmm.
Broncos at the Bucks, the latest Chucky reunion game.
You know, this is an interesting game. Boy, they look awful on Sunday night. I'll go with Denver.
Oh, I have to go with Denver also.
Okay. Next, I'm sorry, Rich.
Chiefs at Ravens.
Monday night game. Ooh, if the Chiefs lose, they're 0-4, and they are screwed. That's at Baltimore. There's no way I can pick against Ray Lewis. I will take the Ravens.
I think the Ravens got it. I really do. We were discussing what's wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs, and you got to go with Baltimore at home.
All right. Beautiful.
And one more.
And the Pats and Bills.
Okay. Now, this is where I'm torn. I got Tom Brady and I got Hasselbeck on my fantasy team. Hasselbeck is off on a bye this week. I'm going to start Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a feeling that the Patriots ain't going to win their 18th
in a row.
You
got a gut on this? You got a hunch on this one?
I'm going with Buffalo.
Oh, baby. All right. I catch up this time. Take it to the bank. The New England Patriots will win this game big.
Well,
outstanding.
No risk, no reward. Rich, have a great week on your show. And listen, hey, you're funny as hell on your new Newlywed game spot.
It's the Michael Vick, Jim Moore Newlywed game spot gets aired this week, and it's hilarious. I just saw it yesterday.
Well, check it out, Rich. Go have a good time.
You got it. Take it easy.
We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
It's Rich Eisen from the NFL Network.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rich brought to you by Tower Records and Tower.com.
Yeah.
Check out the Gods of Metal sale going on now. 25 artists, 25% off. Metal mainstays like AC/DC, Ozzy, Iron Maiden, and Led Zeppelin. Modern metal, like Velvet Revolver, Korn, Saliva, Godsmack. 25 Gods of Metal, 25% off now at Tower. Tower Records and Tower.com. Everything worth watching is here. Rich's show, NFL Total Access. Every night at 7 and 10 on the NFL Network.
This is when I go back when you react like that and I read about the pick that I didn't have any faith in.
But let's say Korn?
No, I'm just saying it's a great band. It's a great food.
My Jacksonville
pick. Enjoy it twice.
My Jacksonville pick, yeah. Dumb.
No, he's not retarded.
I kind of reviewed it. I was reading up on it.
Yeah, that's
I don't do it before the pick, Rob. It's too much, too easy that way.
I'll tell you something really I think, too. I think that Buffalo pick is a stupid pick by me.
Yeah.
But I just have a feeling the Patriots aren't going to win the 18th, at some point...
Don't you think the Patriots are kind of like a dynasty right now?
But at some point, they got to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it'll be this Sunday. Oh, Buzz, your microphone was turned off?
Yeah.
I apologize.
I had so much to contribute to that football conversation.
Now we'll never know. phone scan time. Thank you to Rich Eisen. Now, listen, no offense to Nancy.
All right.
That's how you do a football segment.
That's pretty tight right there.
That's how you do it.
That's little nuts and bolts. You know, we get out of that once in a while, though.
How you do the football segment.
I mean, you can do a whole football segment without talking about how cold it is.
Yeah.
Well, the great CBS lineup.
Hey, fellas.
Yeah, no pep talk. You know, no pep talk required.
Nah, he knows he's good. Your calls right here and right now. We had a problem with the telephones, and my main man,
Cardi Limon,
Tony Diggs, has got him up and running.
Yeah!
So we will take calls from anybody. 877-365-3636 from America, from Canada, from Mexico. 800-636-1067 in D.C. 202-432-1067. Those are our digits. Your calls on the rotating random phone scan. That's next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
1898, Spain owned Cuba outright. Think about it. Cuba owned by a disorganized parliament over 4,000 miles away. Cubans were in a constant state of revolt. In 1904, the United States decided to throw a little weight around and...
Joe.
Who is it?
Pizza Guy.
Again?
Mr. Pizza Guy, sir.
Joe.
For the double cheese and sausage.
Right here, dude.
Joe.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you are doing?
Learning about Cuba. Having some food. Joe.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
You know, I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Joe. Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Spicoli. It is our time. Yours, mine, and everyone else's in this room. But it is my class. Hamilton, Brandt, Kornfeld, up front.
Mr. Spicoli has been kind enough to bring us a snack. Be my guest. Help yourselves. Get a good one.
Joe Arden.
No, that was just for Joe.
Like a love toy for your ears. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. That's just Joe. That's Joe all over it.
And,
Joe.
Oh, that's great.
You know, you and I got to get our picture taken next week for the website. If we want to get this thing up and running in the month of October, which it already is now.
Yeah, I'm going to get a makeover before we do that.
So. Everybody's had their picture taken except us. And in Joe's publicity picture.
How about next Friday?
That works for me.
It's got to be next week.
It's got to be next week.
Yeah, I'll do it the latest possible.
You guys really need to be on the website? I mean, really.
Let's make it happen Friday. Okay. I saw some copies of the pictures, and in one of Joe's, and Joe's never had a publicity picture before.
Right.
Done by a nice photographer.
Right.
Joe has on the very same poncho that Spicoli's wearing. You know that. What is that thing that they.
It's a poncho. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, right. It's like made of wool, and it's red and green and and a little blue, a little black.
When I was in high school, we had a name for them.
What was it called?
A drug rug.
A drug rug.
Joe.
Anyway,
it's a good picture of Joe wearing that. Also, an equally good picture of Buzz sitting with a hookah and a bottle of absinthe.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he bring all that stuff with him?
Yeah, he brought his own props. So did Joe.
Are we supposed to bring props?
No. No.
Just you don't have to.
You know what our...
Is it going to be our philosophy of photo taking?
You know what our prop is, Mike?
Right.
Our incredibly handsome face.
There you go.
From
the shoulders up.
There you go. Phone scan. At 877-365-3636. From Canada. 800-636-1067. Here we go with your on-screen phone calls. Hi, Don and Mike Show. What? What are you
I'm just checking my shirt for a stain. Something about pictures makes me all self-conscious.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Phone scan.
First, Don and Mike, you guys rock. That's
Thank
for you.
You,
Tim. And second, I have a question for Mike.
Yes, sir.
My wife and I, we're expecting a little girl in February, and we're having a hard time deciding on names.
All right.
What do you think would be a good name for a little girl?
Sea Spray. That's
Are you serious?
Of course I am. Sea Spray.
All
sea
right.
Spray, and I think it's a beautiful name. Thank
you. And that's the full name. Of course you would just call her Sea.
Sea or Spray.
Not Spray.
Now, probably
Thank you very
spray.
Much.
You're welcome. Sea Spray. Good luck to you.
Well, thank you.
I mean, not that we all don't have questions and answers. Why did you
know
ask
why?
Mike? Because Mike has daughters?
Because I was so decisive. Yes. Had
that
an answer
too.
Right away.
Okay, take Sea Spray. That's all right.
All right, thank you very much.
Don, sir, I got to tell you something.
Never mind. Right.
Don is dying to give you a name.
No, never mind, I'll tell you later. You'll have to listen to hear it later.
Okay. Listen to you guys every day, so I have no problem listening.
All right.
Why did you come to me, sir?
Because you have daughters and you are very decisive.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Quick on your feet. I appreciate that. Thank you.
See you later.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bye-bye.
Oh, they will.
Hope your daughter doesn't get hit by a tornado. Sea Spray
was
there.
By the way.
Yes.
My mother is a whore. She was just in a tornado up in Horonto, Canada.
Very good. Thank
all
you
right,
for that.
You
good
it.
Job. I actually,
Sea
Spray popped into my head because there was a report one time. That is a real name that was on the books for a kid.
Wow.
Another one was Saliva, and another one was, I think Velveeta was another one that they had. And these were real names that
absolutely.
Were recorded.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hi, you're on the air. Phone scan.
Hi, I just wanted to say kudos to you all for having on a guy like Rich Eisen on the weekend. It's a great way to start it.
Kudos. And, you know, the guy wanted my answer, and I don't have, like, a funny answer like Mike did. Mine is true. And
hey, can,
Anna Nicole.
That's
what I think
you
should name.
That's not funny at all.
Maybe Anna Nicole.
That's not funny at all.
It's not like Sea Spray.
Hi, baby.
Anna Nicole.
Hi, baby.
Anyway, Rich Eisen is great. I think we all agree with you.
Hey, can I beat y'all up for a couple questions about the Dolphins, since Rich can really peg it down between them or the 49ers?
What?
He wants to ask a couple of questions. He wants to ask you, not me. Now, here's where you can step up. He wants to ask you a couple of questions about the Dolphins.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, do you...
Hello there, Don and Mike Show, phone scan. Hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
It's me. I just wanted to talk
is this,
to you.
Hold on. Is this I'm identified?
Hey, you're great. That's fantastic.
I've identified the voice.
You finally figured out that guy.
Rob's,
I love his call.
Rob's Phantom Finger guy.
So do I.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
Good. Mike, my dog's going to have puppies. You got any names?
I sure do. All right. What kind of dogs are they?
Well, they're going to be lab.
Huh?
Lab. Black
lab. Black labs? Curly, Larry, and Mo.
Question.
Curly, Larry, and Mo.
That's all right. Don't ask me.
Whether they're male or female.
Don't ask me, even though I got three dogs. Don't ask me.
All right, Don. How about a name then, Don?
He doesn't like to be chosen second.
I will tell you later. I mean, I don't mind that Mike has his moments on the show. It's half his show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every single question. You know, here. Okay, now I'll give it to you. It's a dog. You name it, Teresa Hines Carey. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Big dog. If you get three dogs, you can actually Teresa Hines
Carey.
All right, okay.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Mike, are you familiar with that little guy that Pedro Martinez has hanging around with him?
You know, I am so out of the loop on this, and I...
I'm
looking for this all over. Where is it?
Go to ESPN, ESPN.com or FoxSports.com.
Well, I'll tell you this. As they go into the playoffs, Pedro Martinez's little elfin man better help him pitch, because the guy...
Call him a midget. That's what he is.
He's a midget. Pedro's midget ought to help him in the playoffs, because the guy is getting lit up every time he goes out and pitches now.
This is a true story.
And the Red Sox are dead in the water if Pedro Martinez cannot pitch in the playoffs.
It's absolutely true that Pedro Martinez has a midget that's traveling with him like it's a good luck charm.
It's Pedro Martinez, or as I'm referring to him now, our number two starter.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
And you mean number two.
Number two.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
I love this show. I'm a new listener, but I live in Orlando, and I don't get the last part of the show most days because I'm leaving, like, the Lakeland, Tampa area.
Oh, so you get it from the Tampa Bay station. I got you.
Yeah, and, you know, I get the show over there when I'm there most every day. But
how are you? I mean, we don't get enough calls from
that
area.
How have you been?
How have you been with all the
hurricane?
Oh, I tell you what, it's the freakiest thing ever.
How have you been?
How have you been?
I just moved from Arizona, like, in July.
I don't need the bio. How are you now?
How have you been?
I'm wonderful.
No, I mean, like, the house and your neighbors. Anybody's house blow away?
Yeah, there's a lot of damage. My house is fine, personally, but there's a lot of damage everywhere else.
How have your neighbors been?
They've been great.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for checking in from Orlando.
He was fine.
Yeah.
Impossible for him to talk about anyone except himself.
I know that storm was bad because they closed Disneyland, or Disney World, yep. Whatever it is in Orlando.
What's scary about that storm, as somebody who spent a lot of time in the state of Florida, is people that flee those storms on the coast. You know where they go? Most of them. They say, hey, this will be a fun thing. They go to Disney World, and these hurricanes kind of just like blasted across the state right up into the central part.
Uh-huh. That's God being pissed at Eisner.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
That's right.
Because, you know, we're not on in Orlando. We're not on in a lot of America. But I'd like to know if there was worse damage sustained throughout all four storms at Disney or Universal.
I'd like to know that, too.
I bet Disney got hit more.
I understand that they've had to totally abandon production on Buddha Mouse.
Hello? Buddha Mouse.
Another Disney feature.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello?
Hey, how are you anyway?
How are you anyway? How are you anyway?
Hey, this is Bart's Wallet Guy. Can I have an Xbox?
Get out of here, Bart's Wallet Guy. Oh, listen to this. Beth Ann sent me an email about some client that wanted to get involved in the show.
Was there swearing?
No, there was no. She kept it clean.
Ah.
Here's the deal, and I won't name the name of this auto dealership.
Okay.
They wanted to sponsor a contest where we would give away a Cadillac.
Wonderful.
Of course, because I've kidded since I'm adopted and I don't know who my dad is.
Right.
I've said I'd give my daddy a caddy.
Mm-hmm.
So what they want to do is sign like an advertising deal where every day I seriously read this thing saying, oh, and if my daddy ever shows up, he gets a Cadillac from this car dealership. I mean, I'm all for whoring out the show.
Yeah.
And you got to do what you got to do to sell commercials. But let's face some facts. First, this dude's not coming after me because I'm 46 now and I still got no idea who my dad is.
Yes.
Second, hello, client. It's a joke. I don't think I'd really give my daddy a caddy. unless I drove him over in it.
Wow.
To say, why did you put me up for adoption?
So they were serious saying, hey,
yeah,
we will, if Don talks about our dealership, we really will give his father a caddy if he finds him.
That's right.
Promotion called Who's Your Daddy?
I think they had it. Give your daddy a caddy.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm all right with that. It's like,
who's the account executive that brought that to you? I got to know. I got to know, even if you want to jot it down.
I don't know. I'd have to ask Beth Ann.
I can guess.
Hi there.
Hello?
I don't think it was him. Whose account was that?
Well, you know, it was actually my idea. That's what I suggested.
Oh my God.
Oh.
And then they come at me from all
are
sides.
Are you serious?
Oh,
wait a minute. Hold on a second. So you mean that it's not a salesperson that came up? It's you? My trusted confidant? The producer? My right hand? Beth Ann McBride, it's you?
Yeah.
You're fired.
Was that the same day that Michael Hughes came to your door?
No.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Beth Ann.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. That stinks.
Yeah, well, you know.
But still, the client was into it.
Yes.
Even if the idea came from Beth Ann.
Absolutely.
Beth Ann, the
we'll give
it.
His father a Cadillac.
Hello. Todd and Mike show. Hello.
How you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Hey, Mikey.
Yes-y.
Is your new girlfriend enjoying the night attacks like your late wife did?
Jesus. What a horrible thing to say. What a horrible thing
hello
to
there.
Say.
Don
that was
Mike
back
show.
When we could talk about things like that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
He was literally bleeding to death.
Is that Jerry?
Yeah, I think he's trying to do a Jerry.
I was bleeding to death.
Bleeding. That's about the Percocet, right?
Yeah.
Bleeding. I'm bleeding. Bleeding.
Hello.
Oh, there
hello.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Jerry.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hello. We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I had an idea for content for the website. I think you guys should put some nice, tasteful nudes of BF on there.
Yeah, that'll be happening because that'll really reflect what we're doing now on our show.
Do you know, I got that, speaking of my girlfriend, she bought me the Jon Stewart book, America, that new book that he's got. The funniest thing in there is not anything that's written down. It's a picture thing. You know the old deals where you used to have to put the cardboard clothes on the different people?
Oh, sure.
And he's got one.
I mean, I'm aware of that because girls used to play with that, not that I used to play with.
He's got one with all the Supreme Court justices, only they're naked. And he has put the head on these bodies of these people. It is so funny. My favorite is William Rehnquist. It really is great.
Last night after the debate, Jon Stewart's show is always funny, but it's best after a live event like that where he's live. And he does a good job, even though you know which guy he's for, he does a good job of pretty much skewering both of them.
Right.
But he had Bush, the best Bushism last night, and it's not even him screwing up the language. He's in a long, drawn-out answer about terrorism.
Right.
And he finally says, the thing is, and he's talking about Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. He goes, we're dealing with some folks over there.
Yes,
and Jon Stewart.
A group of folks.
Jon Stewart stops the tape, and I've almost fallen on the floor because he goes, wait a minute.
Folks?
Folks. He goes, I'll tell you who folks are. Now, this is why he goes, folks. Go to the Olive Garden.
Are people you see at the Olive Garden?
Right. That's right. That's what we said. The Taliban, Al Qaeda, not folks.
The best in the business. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, that little man. It's Buddha Mouse.
You mean Pedro's little guy? Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, please, for the love of God, turn your radio down.
There,
Don
now,
Mike, where you go?
Yes, now it's you. Now you've processed it. How are you?
Welcome. Big knob to the left. Now speak into the telephone, breathing through your nose, and let's converse.
And my radio is not on.
Okay. Well,
I hear something there.
There's something on in the background, and it took you a little while to get to the phone.
So come on.
Sorry, I'm outside. It was it was my air conditioner. And
yeah, what did you want to say?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for 24 hours.
And I don't appreciate being known as the unofficial spokesman for insurance fraud.
I don't even get this.
I called you yesterday. Told you I made money on the hurricane.
Uh-huh. All right, yeah, you're the insurance fraud guy. You're the guy.
Didn't you say insurance?
But I'm not.
Yesterday? Didn't you say insurance?
Yeah, you said insurance, and also.
But I'm not. You gave me that label.
No,
and I.
You may.
Hey, what am I supposed to do? Call my insurance company back and say, hey,
you just there. Said it
yes.
again.
You know, I like the way you tried to cover insurance. You tried to say it the right way.
You still said it the white trash way. Insurance.
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 That's what I say, insurance.
No, you say insurance.
No, no. You said it the white trash way.
Who?
You.
You?
No, you.
Insurance.
And furthermore, I don't give a rat's ass what you do, but you called a radio show
and
to say that you had, you milked an extra, what was it, $500 out of his insurance?
I'm sorry, I'm better than that. $2,500.
$2,500. Let me tell you exactly what. We were saying the insurance fraud, I will give you this. I don't think there's anybody in this room, if we got a check that was larger, that we would call an insurance company back and
say, of course we would.
Hey,
exactly.
We do the exact same thing.
But it was
funny to call you insurance fraud man.
Yeah, I understand. It was very funny.
And it's funny again today.
He did admit to taking a check to repair the siding and then not spending any of the money on siding, but instead getting up on the ladder and fixing it himself.
Technically,
that is insurance fraud.
Well, insurance.
Then he's admitted to that.
Right.
No.
We're tracing the call right now, and investigators are coming to your house.
No. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, phone scam.
Hey, Don and Mike. One of the funniest things on the Pedro story is when he was addressing the media and the little midget was standing next to him, Derek Lowe, who's kind of a redneck, walked by and in passing just said, hey, Pedro, where do I get me one of those?
Well, you know what? I think they both could use one. That's
hello, Don
sure.
and Mike show.
Hello? Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Good guy, bing bong, Friday chime time, dude.
There you go, buddy. Was that it?
I just wanted to say have a great weekend and make sure you get real good and gone.
Get real good and gone. Mm-hmm. Let's get real gone for a change. Do we still have that tape, Robin?
It's Elvis Presley. Let's get real
gone
for a change.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Happy Friday.
Right. Oh, hold on a second.
Oh, fellas. And don't move me.
Don't move.
Let's get real gone for a change.
Yeah.
Gone.
Hello.
Happy Friday.
Right on. Hey, we already kicked the weekend off with our weekend party with Dennis Murphy over 3 hours ago.
Anything besides the Friday greeting, sir?
Yes, I'm sorry. First of all, the guy with the insurance fraud, you should call the police.
Okay. And if he's,
and if that's he's, right, police.
And if he's hit by a car, maybe he would have to get an ambulance.
An ambulance.
Right.
And the guy that named his kid.
And I hope he doesn't go to the library.
Or hit his head on the cement.
The guy that called his kid saliva, she was a spitting image.
Spitting image.
Thank you.
Quit while you were ahead.
One too many.
Thank you. Don't thank us. Hello, Don and Mike show. Thank your mother for not aborting you. Hello?
Donna Mike?
Yes, hi.
Hi, I work with so many retards. How do you guys deal with it?
It's very simple. They love candy and they love bright colors.
Yeah, and then we all get along really well.
Okay, I
want
to kill
them. Do you want some more candy, Mike?
Yeah, please.
And I love the bright colors behind you.
Candy.
Colors. Where's our friend Joe?
Yeah, people should know. Why do we get along? Well, we get along with each other. That's how we enjoy working with retards.
And Joe's like the king of the retards.
He is indeed, and we love him.
Yeah, we do. He's so funny sitting back. I see his supplies back there.
Oh, he's always
by his computer.
Sure.
Forget it.
Joe's one of those guys. He's got like... He's got the niche snack foods.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have, and I don't know what it is today, but like a couple of days ago, he doesn't just have the Ritz crackers. He's got the Ritz crackers that have the crunchy peanut butter and on, you know.
Protein.
They almost end up being like that Isaac Hayes song. whatever the item is that he's eating. You know, full vitamin, it's so good for you.
You know what he has a lot that I don't like?
Barbecue chicken?
No, that he has every day. But that's like good. A snack mix that's like Cheetos and pretzels and little like cracker pieces. It looks to me like someone swept up at a snack factory.
Hardinger.
It's great and it's not too expensive.
This is Hardinger.
Let me write Joe on my bottle.
Forget it.
Hardinger
here. And don't forget earlier today.
I'm right over here. Hear you talking about me. I'm wearing my Ernie shirt.
Not in Mike's show. Hello.
Guys, how are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good. I'm
going to be going to Mike's Fine Establishment this weekend, and I wanted to
look around
what
cafe.
What? What the special of the house is, so we know.
Well, you know, I'd have to actually run the place to know that. I've got quality people doing that, but I really don't know. But you know what? Here's what I say to people like you. Are you ready for this? You know what the special is? The special is you walking through that door.
That's right. Is there
especially
a special,
tonight. And here's,
is there a swinger section just for Buzz?
Just for Buzz, yes. He's
Buzz
is always there, too.
Yes.
Absolutely. He's behind the Asian screen.
As I always like saying, be the first to find the hair in your food.
Marble!
It's marble. Be the first to find the marble, and your meal is free.
Yes,
and
your meal, your room, all the gambling you want, comped.
Have you opened the new special parking spaces for swamp boats yet?
I have, Rob. Here's three O'Mara's dollars for you.
How have they been? Been!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
That's how you're greeted, too. How have you Bean.
That's nice.
How are ye?
Classy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. Thanks.
Hey, quick question for Mike. I've had a tough week. I live in Northern Virginia. I'm kind of thirsty. Is there anywhere you can recommend that I go for a...
Now, listen, Mike, are you, like, loading up your friends?
I have to tell you, Don, as much as I say things are going great, it's been a little slow lately, so I've actually gone out on the street and solicited people to call about the restaurant.
Because here's the deal. If we do this in a kidding way, we're cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if, like, Mike really does commercials, they're going to make him pay for it.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing that anytime soon, so I got to be careful with that, but here's three O'Mara's dollars for you. Thanks a lot, and check out the Buzz Burbank Swingers section.
Now, who was that on the phone? Which of your daughters?
Was that
Catherine or Elizabeth?
No, they're not old enough to call yet, but it's they're waiters that I have called.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I just had to call to say how great you guys are.
Let's end it right there, then.
Yeah.
Why don't we just end it there?
Why continue
perfect.
After that wonderful statement?
No, but there's more. It's because of your chemistry, like...
Yes, that's right. Again, though, whatever you're going to say, why don't we just end it? Why do we always, even when we get a nice call...
I don't ruin it. I mean, I can compliment each of you guys in so many different ways.
I'm sure you can, but I'm sure we'd end up hating you by the end of the call.
Even though
what you're saying is, I'm sure, very nice.
Okay, how about Mike? Your voices are amazing. You do so many of them.
Well, that's great. Now, once again, I'm going to feel insecure over
it. Now you got to give one to Don.
You have to do that.
Don, you know what I love about you most, and this is really strange? Your temper.
May I tell you something, ass? A steak.
This guy sounds like he wants to be like your gimp. That was at least my compliment. You got the stalker compliment.
No.
You know what I like most? Your temper. Put me in your box, Don.
You abuse some of your listeners, and yet they keep coming back.
Retard. A steak doesn't need whipped cream, okay? Thank you.
I'll write that down.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Doesn't need whipped cream.
That's right. The show's good the way it is. We need one compliment. Show is great. That would be it.
You get a little mad. You got a little hot at that guy. And you know what I like most about you?
What?
Your temper.
Hello. Todd and Mike show.
That's great.
Hello. That's good. I'll put that on my resume. Talent?
Yeah.
I get angry.
Beloved and temper.
Talent and temper.
Real good being mad. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, big man. This is your daddy. I want my caddy.
Now, that guy made me laugh.
Anger and ability.
Hey, big man.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I just wanted to find out if, Don, if you'll let Mike watch any of the afternoon games and let us hear his misery as the Red Sox lose the playoffs this year.
I think we always have a TV at least going, but...
Last year was, when it went down to the ALCS, and it was, like, coming down to the wire, and...
I think maybe you even left the room to go watch one of those games.
Yeah.
I think you did for a while.
Yeah.
It depends how far they go.
If they go to the ALCS, I will come in and do what I did last year. I threw myself upon your mercy and begged you, grabbing you around the ankles and said, please, show me that temper!
Don and Mike, and I said, only if you do one of your impressions for me.
No, you looked at me and said what you always say in those situations. You looked down at me as I was grabbing you down in a completely prone position. You said, when you hot, you hot. And thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks a lot. And a steak don't need whipped cream.
That's right.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
No, it don't. Hello. Steak needs some A1 sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Steak don't need whipped cream.
Right.
Hello.
Guys.
Hello. Yeah, what?
I found out who's going to star, take John Candy's role in Spaceballs 2.
Now, I already mentioned that
No, it's not Andy Richter. It's going to be Leah Remini.
made Mike laugh. Sorry, that didn't make
me
laugh.
No, made me laugh. Because you know what? It took me.
Yeah.
I'm dumb.
It's like, you know, it's been
the whole fat thing with her was a couple of weeks ago, but it was still
a couple seconds to track with it.
It was a pretty good Leah Remini fat joke.
That's right.
You don't have your phone number given out or anything because you did actually kind of sneak one in on us. Yeah. So good for you. Have a good weekend.
You too, man.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Donna Mike. Phone scan.
Donna Mike, I had a question about Leah Remini, too.
Yeah, what about Lisa Remini?
If Kevin James dies of a heart attack tomorrow, could she even make it on The Surreal Life?
No. Thank you for the question, though.
Good luck.
Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Good luck.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hola. You're on the air. Don and Mike
show. Hey, sorry. I just want to congratulate you on your two-day vacation.
Oh, no. Ooh. Not fair. Oh. Not fair.
Negative.
Not nice.
And what, you don't get a weekend off? Oh, he just hung up. Ass. There I go again.
That temper, that lovable temper.
Crazy
like
temper.
To point out, Eastern time, we have entered the 6 o'clock hour.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Hey, hello.
Yellow.
I just want to say you guys rock, and have a great weekend.
All right, thank you.
You know what? Hold on.
Pretty nice.
I'm going to stop it there, because this guy got it right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, pretty straightforward.
Need the buzz tapes, Robbie. My friend, you're the last caller.
Awesome.
That's a good way to end a good phone scan. Who are you and where are ye from?
My name is Todd and I'm from Green Bay.
Green Bay. Well,
I'd like to point out, though, Don, before you give him the prize, that if we'd gotten everybody that called and just wished us a happy weekend, he would have lost that famous temper of yours.
$25 Hooters gift card. Enjoy the wings while watching all the games. Collinger Pro. Hooters is football. Enjoy, and you're listening on WNFL in Green Bay. Thanks for listening. Okay?
Yep.
AW? You got that? MF?
Have a good weekend, AW.
Hey, when we do any more, we can go back to it.
Right.
We have to every once in a while.
Man, that was a great segment.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
I've wiped.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Great.
He made it up.
Buzz, let me ask you a question.
All right.
What is your lead story on the news and comments today?
Today, W racks up an L in the first debate.
Hey, W.
I don't know if... Well, never mind. You know, if we were doing the show that we had done where we could put nudity on the website, it would be different.
To me, it's funnier now, though. It's funnier that way.
I know, but...
I really enjoy doing it that way.
People know what we mean.
And I really do. I do. I say have a good weekend of that,
AW. Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. I said, thanks a lot! Thanks a lot! That was very...
professional.
This... is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it. Right. The Don and Mike Show.
Dallas. Live 105. That's our station in Iowa City, Iowa. KCJJ. JJ. JJ. San Francisco. KYCY. Tampa Bay. 10-10. WBZZ, it's good to be back on at Tampa Bay. Time for Buzz and News Now. Buzz brought to you by Viramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor?
Number one Viramax, because it really works. Doctor developed. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. First, let me begin with breaking news that I can give you only one sentence
on
because there are no details.
Hold on.
Police have identified the human remains found in a Salt Lake City landfill as those of Lori Hacking.
Oh, so they did finally confirm
they found the body. Just wanted to keep you updated.
Okay.
Now, back to the planned story. So forget the spin doctors. Three overnight voter surveys show that Kerry is the slight winner. What remains to be seen is whether it was of any help to undecided voters. Senator John McCain, who helped Bush prepare for the debate, says it was probably Kerry's brightest moment in the past 6 weeks. Quoting McCain, he presented himself well. Kerry came out slugging.
McCain?
McCain!
McCloud?
McCloud?
around.
Despite Kerry's slow start, delaying his answer to the first question with greetings, he went on the offensive, maybe for the first time effectively. The White House says the president spoke from the heart and with strength. Quoting a spokesman, he had a good time last night.
Hey, I know polite is polite, but I would have advised him, hey, you know, you don't need that.
Dive in.
Because it appears to be a diversion.
And here's the thing. The very first question was, and it was, I thought, a fantastic first question.
Yeah, Jim Lehrer, the PBS guy that we were slamming yesterday, did a phenomenal job.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are we doing wrong in Iraq? What would you do different than President Bush? Mm-hmm. And he says, he's doing an awful job. I have a plan. I'd like to start by saying thank you, Jim.
Yep.
Thank you, Miami. Yeah. You're a beautiful audience.
Yep.
I think everyone will agree that Kerry picked up speed and picked up a lot of momentum as the evening went on.
Later. I mean, he was so much stronger than he started.
But his problem at the front is it looked like he was just talking to Jim Lehrer.
Right.
And
that's
really not how you do that.
But what killed me was the greeting. I think the greeting, you know, hey, we all know you're happy to be there. And you're happy with the host. Don't do that again.
I'd say conversely at the end with Bush, with the wind-up, when I thought Bush would come in, with just guns blazing, no pun intended, he started with the whole thing about, hey, I want to say your family's wonderful, your daughters are wonderful, your wife is wonderful.
And I know some women, young women, did not like the comment about, I got to keep him on a leash or something. Wasn't there some leash comment?
Yeah,
about his daughters. Right. We're talking about his daughters.
He should have closed with, how have you been?
And I loved it. Oh, the only other thing that we didn't mention before, I love the Bush daughters' body language at the end.
Yeah.
When the Kerrys came over to shake hands, they were just like,
you are my daddy's job.
It was almost like they were in that movie Mean Girls. And finally, I get to quote the great Lindsay Lohan.
Well, the next presidential debate is the town hall meeting a week from tonight, the vice presidential candidates debate this coming Tuesday. Lots more people watched the first presidential debate this year than watched 4 years ago. Last night, 55 million people. With Joey as a lead-in, NBC had the most viewers.
Joey!
At first, it appeared NBC was being quite the bad boy network by having reaction shots through the use of split screen. But the debate rules that the networks had pledged not to follow anyway spoke of cutaways. The rules did not address split screen technology.
See, as I was watching it, I don't remember who I called for. I called Mike about the crazy Who Wants to Be a Millionaire light.
Right.
I called you about the light.
And then I called Mike about the light.
Right.
And then, did I call you or somebody else? What are we talking about?
The presidential debate.
Split screens?
Split screens.
Cutaways?
That it was CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Did I call you?
Call me.
I did call you. See, the thing is, this is happening, and I'm talking to so many people.
Right.
CBS originally, and I was going between all of the channels,
right.
CBS was the first one that had one guy on each side.
Mm-hmm.
And once CBS did that, at least by the way I was watching, but maybe you said NBC was first, however, CBS stuck with a shot of Bush that I thought was very telling, that had him from his left side. You could actually see his body behind the podium.
Yeah, I know the shot you're talking
and
about.
He had his left leg bent, and he was balancing his left foot behind his right foot, almost like as if you were just, you know, chilling out, waiting for a bus.
Right.
I don't know if it was his body language to show that he was bored with what Kerry was saying, but it was on him an awful lot.
It looked a little goofy.
Yeah, it did. After a while, it stood out to me.
And I thought at one point they did the same shot of Kerry, and I thought he was going to do the old leg bounce. And he didn't do it.
He moved his leg. He looked like he was going
to. And I thought he was going to do like the nervous leg bounce. God, are these guys scrutinized? I guess they want to be president.
And I wish...
Hard work.
And I wish I knew what John Kerry was writing down. I'm sure he was writing notes, but do you...
Now you've got a great late Daily Show skit right there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the camera, the above camera. You know, that's funny right there.
They did. In fact, they did that gag last night on the Daily Show.
Oh, did they really?
They showed a fake overhead shot of what Kerry's notes looked like.
What was the joke then? What was the joke?
It said, I am so winning, is what he is.
That is so funny.
Well, speaking for what it's worth, speaking of rules and technology, it was at the insistence of the president's people that there be a flashing red light to show that a candidate had gone past the time limit. The president went past five times, Kerry only once.
And I was disturbed because after I saw the lights, spoke with Rob about the lights, Rob said to me, do you know about the buzzer? I don't know.
They had a buzzer?
Yes.
Well,
the deal was supposed to be if you go over your 5 seconds after the red light's on, you would get a buzzer. So I saw Bush more than Kerry.
Yeah.
Kept pushing it, and I
like when the light was off.
Right.
I kept waiting for the buzzer to trip.
Who's Mike Wallace's son? Is it Chris Wallace?
Yeah.
Chris Wallace. News? Yeah. He said that it went off in rehearsals and was so loud it startled the president.
Oh.
Now, how would you like to see that?
What the hell was that?
Jesus Christ.
Man, oh, man, I tell you, you're scaring me.
Well, for now, anyway, the anti-war protests this time around are more individualized. In Denton, Texas, not far from Crawford, Mike Sutton is a middle-aged guy with a conscientious objector written all over him. He drives a 96 Mitsubishi Diamante. He says nobody really paid much attention when he covered it with bumper stickers, but now he said a lot of people ask him about the names. He's now covered his car with the names of the dead from the Iraqi war. He's up to 842. In Nashville, a teenager and his friends have been arrested for stealing 71 Bush-Cheney yard signs because the young man was angry his brother, the Marine, is being sent to Iraq. Get off the bus, Grandma. Thousands of casino workers are on strike.
There she is.
Granny.
Casino workers on strike in Atlantic City. The strike started at 6 this morning, just in time for the weekend.
Oh, no!
Oh, no, this will never do.
No.
Bring in some scabs.
The entrances of a dozen casinos are being picketed by hundreds of striking workers. Quoting a bartender at Caesars, we mean business 100%.
No.
The Trump properties are not affected. The union reached a deal with them last night, just in time for the
weekend. I'll drink to that.
A hotel labor dispute in San Francisco could spread to other cities. 10 San Francisco hotels locked out union workers today in answer to a strike at 4 other hotels. The union says it hopes the 2-week strike will get the talks moving again.
Wait, wasn't there a hotel strike in D.C. that was supposed to happen?
Well, union officials in Los Angeles and here in D.C. have also authorized strikes but have not yet acted upon them.
Gotcha.
The president's proposed constitutional amendment.
Does that affect Motel 6?
Oh, no.
No, I don't think so.
What about the Breezeway?
The Breezeway is non-union.
Yeah. Right. Have you checked out their hourly rate?
They have scabs.
Have you? Everywhere. But they are delicious. They are delicious.
The president.
The hourly rate, incidentally.
Yes?
They've got a great deal for part-timers here. The hourly rate at the Breezeway Motel right down the street is the same as they pay our weekend board ops.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, that's where most of them sleep.
And convenient. You can break even that way. And don't be fooled. Those aren't plaid sheets.
The president's proposed constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage failed in the U.S. House of Representatives yesterday. In a mostly Republicans versus Democrats battle, the Republicans were the majority, but 49 votes short of the 2/3 majority they needed to move forward an amendment. The proposed amendment failed in the Senate back in July. Even the vice president says each state should decide. But Republicans
got... Oh, that's because Cheney's daughter is a lesbian.
That's right. Absolutely.
And not as good-looking, incidentally, as Cynthia Nixon's new boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Excuse me, girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
But despite all this, Republicans did get what they wanted out of this gay rights vote, to be able to say that Democrats, individually and as a group, voted for homo marriages. Quoting a Democratic lawmaker, this is a partisan exercise to distract people. Diversion, if you will.
Ah, who cares?
I like the pink. That's why I order my burgers medium rare. But
I thought we were talking about something else entirely, Bother. You thought I like the pink.
That certainly was an interesting segue.
It was a segue from gay marriage to all of a sudden a statement from Bob Burbank. Hi, Bob, I like the pink. Well, I want to say as a gay man, I'm offended by that because you can certainly like the pink with a man as well.
Rightio.
Okay, then. Anyway, that's why I order
Although in my case, sometimes I say, I like the red.
Oh, really?
I like the pink. I like the red.
I know you do. I order burgers medium rare, but this summer a couple of restaurants told me they couldn't do it. They couldn't prepare it that way. It's like the runny egg scare all over again. They're worried about being sued over bacteria that maybe didn't die in the cooking process.
Hold on. What is this about?
Medium rare hamburgers.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Or rare hamburgers.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Yeah, now you give me the plug.
All of this.
You and your food are going on an adventure.
Quite an adventure.
Get all the medium rare you want.
You're always going to have a table waiting for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
That's right.
We're putting a sign up.
Look Around Cafe.
Well, this fear of lawsuits is why an upscale restaurant in England has started serving rare or even medium hamburger only if you sign the waiver first in triplicate, freeing the restaurant of all responsibility no matter what happens.
Hey, listen, there's not a piece of ass that's worth that much as a hamburger.
I know.
Try the Marriott burger. The five-star Marriott's newest...
tough business, Don.
The five-star Marriott's newest menu item, waiver du jour, got a write-up in the magazine the lawyer.
All right, how about this?
Yeah. Have it your way.
O'Mara's. A great meal is never rare.
Right.
Oh. Hey, how about that?
That's nice. Rob?
Yeah. You like that?
Write it down.
Thanks. Look around, Cassie. Okay.
Write it down.
And the thing about steak.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We're a show with steak doesn't need... I don't know why I said
steak
that.
Steak doesn't need whipped cream.
I love it, though.
A picture of me.
Now, White Castle... White Castle makes the tastiest greasy burgers on the market.
Eating
a lot of them is probably not good for you,
but everybody
needs some White Castle.
Didn't we go there one night when we were bowling?
And you remember that we spent literally 45 minutes in the drive-thru line, all of us together in one car?
Worth it, though. Best hamburgers in the world. Chicago's Michael Strauss, however, is focused on the onion rings, one in particular, the one that squirted hot grease onto his arm when he bit into it. So now Michael is suing White Castle for, and I quote, scalding and severely burning him.
Oh, come on.
He says, that was him. He says the onion ring was unreasonably dangerous and defective.
Oh, come on.
And that White Castle has a duty not to sell food that's too hot to eat.
Duty.
White Castle sells duty.
The man's lawsuit says he's had to pay large sums for his medical care.
Please.
It's been 10 years since the famous McDonald's hot coffee case that won a woman $500,000.
Wow.
Now, Lucky Charms will soon be magically healthy. General Mills says it's converting all its breakfast cereals, no matter how sugary, to whole grain. General Mills is America's second biggest cereal company.
I don't like this.
Behind Kellogg's.
And my kids don't like this. I got to pump them full of that white sugar.
You'll still be able to find sugary foods for your kids.
Oh, they're going to keep the sugar. This is just for show. They are giving their product line a makeover.
Buzz is in the cereal. You know why Buzz is in the cereal? Because this is the latest development.
Yeah.
Buzz has invented a cereal.
I've invented a cereal that I believe will win me the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, no, I already heard about
this. Have you heard about this cereal?
I heard about it on vacation. It's got nuts in it.
Raw oats, sliced almonds, and Splenda, the artificial sweetener made from sugar.
That's it.
You hear that sound?
Shake it up on a bag, add a little
cinnamon.
That is
the sound of Buzz being nervous when you hear that.
He is excited about it.
He is so excited about it.
Going to win the Nobel Prize. The makers of sugary, starchy foods have seen their sales figures fall as people begin to avoid carbohydrates.
I got a name for it.
Yeah? Please.
Dog. I can't say. DS.
DS. Mike Elson, DS.
Dog, yes.
You'll be jealous of my Nobel Prize.
I'll be very jealous. I'll be an AW.
The makers of Wonder Bread and Twinkies have already filed for bankruptcy, and the cereal companies are fighting for their lives. Soon, Trix won't just be for kids. It'll be the colon and heart-healthy whole-grain cereal with a carbo-loaded sugary coating.
Think about it. Now the kids will be hyper from the sugar and regular.
Yes, that's delightful.
That is great.
A Connecticut man's in trouble for trying to avoid traffic by using a helicopter. 42-year-old John Kajekstad of New Canaan, Connecticut, was actually ticketed for landing a helicopter on his lawn. He told police he had planned to land at a New Jersey heliport and then drive home. But as he explained to the cops, he just didn't want to deal with all the traffic. New Canaan has an ordinance that prohibits landing an aircraft on residential property. Go figure.
I'm having a problem here. Excuse me.
This is why.
Excuse me, Buzz. Oh, no, the humanity. Oh, my God.
$75 fine.
Man, oh, man, that New Canaan. Wow.
Yeah.
You want to talk about money?
Money. Yeah.
That's where David Letterman lives.
Granny.
Oh, he moved?
Yeah. I'll give you the map.
Didn't I read that at the house Letterman... Well, you would know this, you're a stalker. At the house that Letterman bought, it came with a helicopter pad?
It may have. He bought a whole farm. It's a huge farm property.
How long ago did David Letterman buy that house?
It's been about a year and a half, I would say.
How much would you think he paid for it?
Oh, millions, but I don't know how much.
Is it in Connecticut or out of Connecticut?
It's in Connecticut still, yes.
What's his girlfriend's first name?
Regina Lasco.
That was her last name. What's his kid's name?
I just spaced on that. I don't remember.
Is it further out than New Canaan?
Yes.
Do you know the town name?
No, I do not remember the town name offhand.
Harry.
Thank you.
Harry.
God, I forgot.
Harry.
See, I'd prefer not to think of him as a father.
His boy's name is Buzz.
Whatever that means.
That's weird. That is very, very strange.
Oh, boy.
Up next. Oh, ma'am, do you admire?
No.
Do you admire his temper?
Oh, boy.
I do. Okay. Yeah.
That's stalker-esque.
It's a charming feature.
A man
Robbie, what?
Regina, another box of breakfast cereals here. Got almonds and Splenda in it.
Buzz Burbank's DS. Nobel Prize. A man who drinks a six-pack of beer a day wants his driver's license back. That's that's our story when we return.
Well, yeah, that's the story. Yeah, give it to him.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Hypnolarious. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that am right.
I am Buzz. Hello there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
What are you talking about today?
Well, all kinds of things.
Like what?
Well, in Pennsylvania, a man who drinks a six-pack of beer a day is asking for his driver's license back.
Yes.
44-year-old Keith Emmerich lost his license after his doctor told the court about his six-a-day habit. The doctor was treating Keith for an irregular heartbeat.
Now listen, I'm not a big beer drinker.
Uh-huh.
I do enjoy a mixed beverage.
Agreed.
I'll say this every evening.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And I don't know, but I know for when Rob house sits or mm-hmm. when I've gone on vacation with Rob,
mm-hmm.
it's not unusual
to be loved.
By anyone. And hey, what's new, pussycat?
Hey.
Whoa. But I've seen Rob and also Joe, when I've spent time with Joe,
uh-huh.
what seems like hundreds of beer cans.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've been with Mike on evenings when I've had two or three mixed drinks,
mm-hmm.
and I know that it's been like a ratio of maybe two beers to every one of my
mm-hmm.
mixed. Oh, here is beer expert Joe Ardinger. Yes. Hi, Joe.
Weekend's here.
See, I'm on a mission
Joe.
To eradicate the world of Miller Lite
there
one can at a time.
Bingo, baby. So, Joe, on an average, do you think six is too much in a night?
Of course not.
Yeah, because sometimes my wife gives me crap even about having a drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll say...
Do you have a drink every night?
Yes, sir.
Well...
How you doing, Pot?
I'm just sitting down.
My name is
How
Kettle.
How are you, Kettle?
My name is Kettle.
Yeah. I am a...
Well, see, no, I do not have a drink every night. I have a couple of nights of the week where I just drink amazing amounts.
Right.
And then get a cab home.
I'm of the opinion that whatever you need to get you by... It's what ye shall have.
Joe Ardinger.
Yeah.
Truer words never spoken.
There you go. My man, Joe.
Drink it till it dies.
Don, I just would tell you, I know you like to go home and have one, maybe two. And I just want to say, please come back to the Bingers occasionally, like when we have a nice evening out or something like that.
Oh, I will. Yeah. And there are times when I do, but generally speaking,
mm-hmm.
I have one mm-hmm. Double, sometimes
right.
two, which might equate to six cans of beer.
Right. So why are they persecuting this man?
It's a big deal.
Well, that's a fair question. The doctor who was treating this guy for an irregular heartbeat told the court about the guy's habit. Pennsylvania law required the doctor to ignore the usual doctor-patient confidentiality. So Keith, the six-pack drinker, got a judge to okay one of those breathalyzers that keep him from starting the car while drunk. But Keith wants to ditch the device and the restriction that requires it because despite the six-pack a day, Keith says he never drives drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Says it's not fair. In Montrose, Colorado, there, and now he's famous.
I mean, if it's on a serious note, uh-huh. if he had been involved in some kind of wreck
right.
or had done something crazy, I mean, the dude wants to what, just... Have his beer and sit at home and have his beer, or is the...
That's
or,
what he says he
or
does.
Or is the
says,
car the issue?
No, he says... Well, he wants his unrestricted driver's license back. He says he has his six-pack of beer in the evening and that he doesn't drive afterwards.
Well, did he get a DUI? Is that why it was
no.
restricted?
No.
He only got his license restricted because his doctor ratted him out right for drinking
right.
a six-pack
well,
a day?
But I don't understand. Where did the doctor even come into this?
How it got in court in the first place, I do not know.
See, that's... you.
Spend the weekend...
We've come in late on the story because the man's now in the appeals process.
Spend the weekend finding out all the details.
Call Dr. Bombay right. immediately.
Off to Lebanon, PA.
It's like looking in a mirror.
You know, really, I mean, maybe yeah. a little maybe yeah. a little more news gathering, a little less cereal making.
And he forgot to tell you that other ingredient in the cereal.
That
makes you want two or three more pulls.
Knowing that I'll never win the Nobel Prize for news, I thought I'd branch into cereal.
I'm like chives.
In Montrose, Colorado, there was a car crash after a man ran a stop sign. Happens all the time. Nobody got hurt in this one. But in the sign runner's car, police Police found the smell of alcohol, lots of beers, and some breath-freshening mouthwash.
I'll drink to that.
The driver refused to take a roadside sobriety test, but the man was not arrested. The officer says it's because of the, quote, non-existence of other indicators. Now, skeptics and cynics believe the man wasn't arrested because he's a local prosecutor from the district attorney's office. The officer says he could smell the beer breath, but he says the prosecutor did not appear to be intoxicated, so the officer did not insist on a blood alcohol test. The prosecutor was simply cited for running a stop sign.
See, now, you're crafty with your agenda, and I understand this.
Right.
I'm fine with this.
Uh-huh.
Whereas you have the story about the guy who innocently drinks a six-pack of beer a day,
right,
and for whatever reason has having his license taken away,
his license.
Then a DA. Uh-huh. So what it is it's us against the man.
That's
okay.
Right.
I'm always down with that, Buzz.
Well, you caught on to my agenda.
And let me also say,
yeah,
screw Whitey. Okay?
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, with all these stories, I'm feeling...
Power to the people.
I'm feeling unfairly persecuted today.
Yes,
rightly so. Well, nobody
all
said...
All these stories about beer.
Nobody said life is fair.
You're persecuted. What about my anger issues, Mike?
Your temper, which that guy loves you for.
It's legendary temper and your ability to do voices and his delicious cereal.
That's right. And you can't spell delicious without DS. Nobody said life is fair.
That's
good.
Hold on.
And incidentally, if you're keeping score at home, the D stands for dog, just as a reminder.
Give Buzz a prize. Mm-hmm. Have you had some of your cereal today?
Well, a little, yes.
Just a little.
I've got another motto for his cereal.
Yeah?
Every morning, spark up a bowl.
I like that. In sports, if it hadn't been for those go-go boots, a Cleveland Indians player could have been badly hurt. But rookie pitcher Kyle Denny was wearing the go-go boots along with a cheerleader's dress as part of his hazing. Kyle and one other Cleveland player were wounded by a bullet this week as their bus headed for a game in Kansas City.
Now, you know,
random mischief, police have no suspects.
I'm wondering about this. He must be one of the guys, Mike, right? Don't they bring up extra guys in September?
They call up guys in September and they rest a lot of players. Of course, Cleveland doesn't need to rest anybody.
Yeah, so
they're just taking a look at guys.
I was wondering why they'd be hazing a rookie, but I guess it's because it's September and... What's also interesting is the Cleveland Indians, this is not a joke, the way they handled this.
Right.
So they're driving through whatever this area of whatever this town is.
Kansas City, Missouri.
This dude, the player, gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they attended to it? They called the doctor over and said, while they kept driving, they didn't stop the team bus. They didn't go to look to see who shot the player. They just kept going.
And they knew the guy had been shot. Give him a B-12 shot.
Yes, you're Cleveland Indian.
Wow. And at Brigham Young University, a volleyball player...
You know, that's Michael Jackson's school, incidentally.
Yes, Brigham Young.
Brigham Young.
A volleyball player... Hi, Michael. Volleyball player was running hurdles at Provo when he landed on one of the uprights.
Oh.
The 21-year-old athlete impaled himself on the post in the groin. He was taken to a nearby hospital for emergency surgery.
Oh, man. Well, see, he's out of his element. He's doing hurdles when he should be playing volleyball.
That's right. And finally, a Japanese company has invented a cell phone, a ringtone, that it says can increase a woman's bust size. And if you believe in mind over matter...
I'd like 20, please.
If you believe in mind over matter, they may be onto something. The ringtone was developed by an expert in brainwashing. This is the same guy who cured the cult that had been brainwashed into releasing a deadly gas into the Tokyo subway. He's renowned. Now he's developed a melody that's become one of the best-selling ringtones in Japan.
And Buzz?
And women who use it swear it works. Yes.
I've got it right here.
What? The ringtone?
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. I have never really looked at your breast rind, but I'm sure it's mighty fine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine.
With this ringtone, they'll get bigger. Oh, my darling, Clementine.
Oh, my darling, Clementine. I don't even know, you're not from wherever this story's from, but still you're my darling, Clementine.
Well, it is now one of the best-selling ringtones in Japan. It's on the top 10.
You see, she's not from Japan. She's from North Carolina.
No, that's silly.
Mm-hmm.
Women who use the ringtone, though, swear it works, which is why it's such a big seller.
I swear it works.
Just don't give it to an NFL coach. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Hey, that's good.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No.
Yeah, that's about it for this week. We will be back on Monday with a new episode. Please stay tuned for our buddies Ron and Fez coming up next on WJFK-FM. on 105 in Baltimore and the Buzz in Tampa Bay. Have a great and safe weekend, everybody. I love you, Frida, and I love you, Bart, and my boys in town this weekend, so have a great time with my son.
So's my mommy.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it on Monday. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
You.
I'll see you in Newport News.
Have a nice drive, Rob.
Eat your cereal.
And where's the door?
Oh, listen.
Running.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
After you've had...